name for the record, please, and we look forward to hearing from you. And it is about a three-minute open mic.
Hi. My name is Tom Wilmer. I've lived in the county since I was 28 years old. I've lived in Morro Bay this go-around since about 10 years ago. Very few people in town know me because I'm gone a lot. I'm a national, international travel journalist. I'll be in Dublin, Ireland next Wednesday. I'm a member of Society of American Travel Writers, the premier writer association in the United States. I'm on the board of directors of the San Francisco Bay Area Travel Writers. I'm a member of OWAC, Outdoor Writers Association of California, and that's why I'm here. Forgive me, I'm not a political person. I'm not really close in the loop in Morro Bay politics, but I understand, number one, let me say, we have our conference, OWAC conference, here in May, and I was told that the writers wish to go out on Verge's deep sea fishing. And it's my understanding that TBID is resisting in funding that or supplying, kind of underwriting that, and Verges can't do it on their own. I just want to advocate for Morro Bay and reiterate the advocacy of a journalist versus advertising. If you get one top outdoor writer that comes to Morro Bay and writes about the fishing experience, that will come back to you guys 20-fold. And you know the differential between if Morro Bay Chamber or CVB, whatever, did a full page or double page ad, everybody knows, we as a consumer know, this is an ad that we're blowing our own horn. If a journalist writes about it, you know, because your own experience, we listen and heed what a journalist says, oh my gosh, you need to go there, because it's perceived as being very much bona fide. I guess the bottom line is, what is Morro Bay? What's it all about? Why does somebody come here? They don't come here to stay in the motels. They don't come here to eat. They come here for our outdoor experience, and you guys say it best on your billboard, that discover the nature, whatever. What we have that nobody else has is our estuary, is our inner bay and our outside world with whales and otters and whatnot. That's our uniqueness, and that's what it's all about. And that's the home run, getting outdoor writers of California to come here, and we need to do everything we can to put out the red carpet to showcase our water world, not to showcase our motels and our trinket shops and our restaurants. It's not that they're not great, too, but that's not what it's all about. I think I've said what I need to say.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anyone else wishing to comment? It would be time to step forward. No? Okay. Seeing no more public comment, public comment is closed, and would the board like to, is there anyone on the board that would like to address public comment?
I would love to address comment. This is the first news I've heard about anything about the Outdoor Writers Association conference, so I have no idea what this gentleman's talking about. So I just would, for the record, like to say we've never, in fact, I know John Lozano from the Inn at Morro Bay came to me and had stated he was having this conference, and I even invited him to please let us know about this. And this is the first comment I've heard about it. So I just want the public to know we don't know anything.
I did get a copy of their newsletter, which is where I heard about the conference. It said it was co-hosted by the chamber. I contacted the chamber and said, when you get closer to developing this concert, conference a little bit more, please contact the board if there's anything we can do to help you. But this is the first I've heard about Verges.
Okay, so I might as well weigh in. 2 days ago, I got a phone call from the chamber, from the visitor center manager, and she expressed an urgent need to set up itineraries for the travel writers, and that they wanted several itineraries to choose from, and that everything on the itinerary should be complimentary. And we're talking about 67 travel writers, some of them traveling with guests, so we're talking about 140 comps for like every thing on the list. And so she basically said, you know, would the TBID be willing to fund that? And I said, well, you would have to apply during our request for funding window. And that window has closed as of February 28th, so there's not a lot that I can do. So I just let her know I referred them to the request for funding form and gave her some ideas of how she could set itinerary.
It's under item number 4, approval of minutes. It says motion member Michelle, a motion for item 70 to be moved up in the agenda, member Karen, seconded, all in favor. Is that supposed to be under approval of minutes? Were those comments or?
It's generally, I'm not looking at the minutes, but we generally put that in where you make that motion.
Okay,
so
that's what I was
just
curious
to kind of
because
keep
I thought that was after the approval. Okay, thank you.
Were there any other comments on the minutes?
I had one comment about the review of TripAdvisor research. We spent a 45-minute conversation, and it just says Member Myers presented his research on lodging ratings from TripAdvisor.
Yeah.
So if the public's reading these minutes and really wondering what we're doing, maybe it would have been nice to have a little bit of information provided in there since we spent almost an hour talking about it. That was the only thing that stood out to me. I don't know where the...
They're generally action minutes, so the motions and the actions are recorded. We sometimes put a little bit of information, but it's a slippery slope because generally your discussions are fairly lengthy. We do, which is good. Yeah. We do always have the discs that are available if people want to go back in to look at it. So those are absolutely available to the public.
So go watch that hour movie, everybody. I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes from February 9th meeting.
I second.
Those in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Everybody likes what they said last month. Okay. All right. So, or you don't like what you said and you still approved it. So, let's see here. Oopsie. Unfinished business. We are very fortunate to have Janice Peters with us, and she is going to report on the February co-op. In February, we did a co-op with the VCB, and that was for a film scout fam tour. And being in the film industry, the first call we made was to Janice, our former mayor and citizen of the year, so that she could possibly help us out, and she willingly said yes. So Janice, if you don't mind giving us a overview of what occurred, that would be terrific. She has a map here, a little packet that she's just passed up.
Good morning. I'm Janice Peters. I did work in the film industry as a location scout for many, many years down in Los Angeles, and I still serve in that capacity occasionally here when I get a call from a film company that's wanting to work up here. I don't know how many of you know, but we almost had Blue Valentine shoot here, which would have been exciting, but it didn't happen. Anyway, when Joan called, we had a couple of days to prepare, so I called the chamber. They're the ones that supplied the map. I did an itinerary that took I wanted them to get the whole feeling of Morro Bay, and I think initially they thought, oh, it'll only take a couple of minutes to drive down the Embarcadero. And I said, no, we have a little bit more than that to offer. So I did. I took them through North Morro Bay. I showed them the parks. I took them through the Cloisters area, said that's our Steven Spielberg neighborhood. Took them down to the Embarcadero, of course. Took them to the state park, the museum. They loved the museum, bought souvenirs and stuff. They loved the Bay Theater. Thought that was just so iconic and small town theater kind of look. And they asked their driver after they dropped me off to take them back downtown so that they could take more pictures. There were about 12 of them, I guess. And we spent an hour and a half. Drove all over town. I took them to the different neighborhoods, told them a little bit about our history, a little bit about our cooperative attitude, should they come back, because here people are all excited about filming rather than LA where they're very jaded and like, oh no, not another one. Here it's open arms and open hearts and a lot of fun and lots of people willing to be extras. So the place that fascinated them the most was the fishing area. They absolutely loved the fishing docks And I know that there's discussions on Measure D that are coming up at council level, which limits development there to be marine and fishing related. We need to keep that. It is what makes us unique. They were absolutely thrilled with that whole rustic, still a small fishing village look, which you can't find pretty Marina Del Rey. It ain't there. So that was something that they took a lot of pictures there. They loved the rock, of course, but that fishing village was what was really important to them. Took them to Tidelands Park. Pretty much, I showed them everything. I showed them our few older buildings that, you know, have a flavor to them, and we had a great time. The fact that I had worked in the industry was certainly helpful because their questions I could answer. And as you'll see in the packet, I gave them a copy of our permit and the contacts, so they have everything they need to know if they want to come and shoot here. And I
that they loved the fishing village. Yeah. I got a report back from Brittany that they absolutely loved the fishing aspect of it. They thought the golf course area was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then that following week, we did get contact made to us for a commercial shoot for a vehicle, a truck, like a truck commercial shoot. They were looking for in our area an ocean view, of course, house that was modern or contemporary design in the building process. So I handed that one off to Rob Wyvick, and we didn't have anything in the loop. But immediately we got response, Janice. I wanted you
so
to know
good.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
Immediately we got, you know, we got some kind of, they were digging for.
Right, and it's a small here. Group of location scouts, so they will tell other people, mm-hmm. you know, if they're looking, because they do communicate with each other, and most of them are freelance, so that's good. There's a lot of, you know, web contact that will happen beyond that, and they also gave my website. So.
Perfect. Well, we really appreciate it. Thanks so much
okay.
for spending your
Thank
Saturday
you.
Morning with them and
that was fun.
Giving up your time for us. And
okay. Thanks.
Super grateful. Thank you. Okay, so that is the report on the Film Industry FAM Tour. And we are looking to B now, the report on the motions for the Director of Tourism from the City Council meeting. And for that, Andrea?
Chair Salou, I'm happy to provide that. Did you skip over board announcements on purpose?
I
just noticed that.
Not. I'm sorry. I did not skip over that on purpose. Let's go back. Do you mind? I have an announcement, but let's see if anybody else has an announcement.
I just have one. Los Osos Little League is getting ready to start up. They're doing C's candy fundraiser, so if anybody wants to buy C's candy, please come by my office. If not, there's a lot of little kids running around selling candy, so please support Little League. So that'll be my announcement for the day.
Jane, any Girl Scout news? No? Alex, any announcements? No? On the screen right now, if AGP would be so kind if they could show that, is the annual Dixon Spaghetti fundraiser is coming up, and the proceeds benefit the Morro Bay Community Foundation Youth Scholarship Fund. These are scholarships for sports through our Recreation and Parks Division program for kids in the greater Estero Bay area, which includes Cayucas, Los Osos, and Morro Bay. The dinner is Friday, March, is that 17? And that is at the Morro Bay Community Center. There are door prizes and raffle prizes, and somebody I know very well is selling tickets, and her name is Joan. You can call her at 459-3274. That's my cell phone, and I can get you some tickets. They're also available at the Recreation and Parks Department. If I am inconvenient for you, the Recreation and Parks Department is open from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, and they would be happy to sell some tickets to you. There are family tickets, senior prices, and children's prices, individuals as well. Thank you. Yep, hope to see you there. Okay. So that was board announcements. Sorry. Let's move to unfinished business now. Report on motions for Director of Tourism from City Council meeting. And now I will turn it over to Andrea. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you. These are unapproved minutes, and actually they were just finished. They haven't gone out in the council packet yet, so just bear that in mind. They have not been approved. I have six different motions. That the council made concerning this item, so I'll just go through those briefly. The first motion was to authorize the city attorney to begin the process of forming a 501c6 to be named the Marketing Visitors Bureau and to be in place no later than July 1, 2012. These motions all passed. The second motion was the Community Promotions Committee be dissolved effective July 30th, 2012, and the TBID be renamed the Marketing and Visitors Advisory Board to consist of 5 hoteliers from the existing TBID board and 4 others from tourism-related local businesses. The third motion was to invite the Chamber of Commerce to develop an economic development plan and submit that to the City Council for our review. The fourth motion was that the new Marketing and Visitors Bureau be funded by the city's general fund in an amount to be determined and from the hotelier's self-assessment. The fifth motion was to extend the existing contract with the Chamber of Commerce through December 31st, 2012. Effective July 1, 2013, the Marketing and Visitors Bureau will expand its existing service agreement contract with the city to include the operations of the visitor center. And the last motion was to direct staff to initiate dialogue with the Chamber of Commerce and the Tourism Bureau separately about potential locations of their offices.
Okay, the City Council. And during the budget process, they determine that amount. Are they taking suggestions on that?
I'm certain that they will be taking suggestions.
I have a question. Well, basically, to answer Joan, if the report on motions for director of tourism from City Council meeting was on our agenda, we could comment and give comments to the City Council, right? But because it's not, we can't do anything, right?
This is an old business, and it's just talking about the motions. I think if you're going to be formalizing, you can decide to formalize a comment to the City Council.
Does it have to be on our agenda to do that? Okay.
It's on your agenda now. I think
You're
fine.
Okay. So
you might. I would only say that these motions have not been there at this point, and these minutes are not approved yet.
Right.
So just keep that in mind.
Right. Okay. So I have a couple questions, and it would be great if Rob Schultz was around for those, because first of all, if the city forms a 501c6, they're the ones that are going to be forming the bylaws and what they want. So it's basically going to be a city directed 501c6, correct?
You know, and I think probably I'm gonna stop right there. At this point, Mr. Schultz and I have not had a second to talk about these motions and the procedure and where we're going to go. So I would say, I know Rob will be here later on to talk about the board makeup, because we want to talk to you a little bit about that today. Mm-hmm. But I think I would hold that off to a future meeting or a meeting separately with Rob and myself, because at this point we just haven't even talked about it. And there was a lot of information that was given and a lot of motions made, and we haven't digested it quite yet, as I'm sure you haven't either.
Okay, there's only one other thing then that I would like to say, and that's about the potential locations. If a potential location comes up now and we're not ready till January to take action, what can we do? We don't know yet.
Well, I think we can look at it and you know, evaluate it. I mean, I don't think the door's shut on. My feeling is the door is not shut really on anything at this point.
Yeah, the reason I'm saying that is because we do have limited space in this city that would be appropriate for a location such as that. So, okay, thank you for your report.
Sorry for the semi-helpfulness.
Questions for Andrea?
I think I know the answer to this, 'cause I think it's going to come up later in the agenda, but it's the timing, relating to the timing of the forming of the new board for the new 501c6. I guess, Andrew, we would talk about the timing. Rob's going to try and get the new company started up by July 1st. Mm-hmm. It would seem to me we would need to have the board formed and active before that, because we've got an awful lot to get accomplished.
Well,
once the company's running, should we talk about that under Under new business, or would that be something to talk about here?
I think if you're talking about the makeup of the board, I think it would be appropriate under B.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, yeah, when we talk about makeup of the board, all my questions will probably be answered then. I do have several questions, but yep, we'll look at it then. So let's move on to monthly reports, and let us start the monthly reports with the, put my glasses on, trade show subcommittee report. And the trade show subcommittee right now is in the high process of pulling together the annual stakeholders meeting that is coming up this month. And we have established everything that will go into the packets. The survey is now closed. We had about a third of the hoteliers respond to the survey. So that's a couple more. Pardon? Well, usually you only get about 15% response on a survey like that, so I think we're doing okay. Oddly enough, though, we had about double that amount open it and then not fill it out and close it. So they looked at it, so we know they're out there. And in addition to that, I sent the board via email last night regarding that stakeholders meeting. The assignments for the hotel list that you've actually been assigned to as an individual. And as noted in the email last night that I sent, you will see that some of us have more than others, but actually the reason why there's more hotels up here is because it's one owner owns multiple, like five hotels. So it's actually a one owner contact point with a distribution to five hotels, and tour some of their new rooms. It's pretty exciting stuff. Are there any questions on...
When will the packets be ready again?
The packets will be delivered here by the end of the week?
Monday. On Monday the 12th.
Okay, so earlier than I thought. Monday the 12th, and will they be delivered to City Hall? Would it be possible for us to pick them up from Jamie's office, Andrea? Okay. So once they've been dropped, Sherry, if you can shoot the board an email letting us know that they've been dropped at City Hall, and you can see how to, or can somebody bundle them? Or
yeah, we'll put them together, and there's a couple of, there's the Slow County Destination Guide that you wanted in there.
Your microphone is yelling at you, sorry.
As well as the marketing plan. So you'll have two publications and a packet that'll be bound somehow. And they will be labeled for the individual hotels, obviously, because there's individual information.
Right.
So with that, I can probably bundle the packages so that Michelle gets hers, Jane gets hers, that kind of thing. So when you pick them up, you've got your six hotels or
that
seven.
That would be perfect. So
okay.
We're not digging through them.
Okay.
That would be awesome. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Joan, can you announce the exact time of that luncheon to the public?
What time they come.
They come.
What
the
time
hotels.
Our guests arrive?
Uh-huh.
Our guests, the luncheon is from 11, it's an 11 to 2. It's 11 to 2. There's kind of a social 40 minutes in the beginning. And then, on the 22nd, that's a Thursday. And then it's at the Inn at Morro Bay at 60 State Park Road. Staying on the wavelength, 11 to 2, and there's a social 30 or 40 minutes there in the beginning, and then after that social, we start the lunch, and we go through our presentation of our marketing of what we've done and where we're going. So there might be, it might be good, at the end of this meeting to know from Rob which direction we're going so we can get there. But there you go. So that's trade show.
Can I have one quick review? These hotels that we've been assigned, are we going to take them the packet ourselves?
You are physically going there.
Okay.
You are the link to the T-bid for them.
Okay. And so then we're going to chat with them and get them to come, right?
You are going to chat with them and get them to come.
All right.
And then 48 hours before, you will be making your reminder phone calls.
Oh, okay. I'm glad to know. Yeah. All right.
72 hours before I'll shoot you a reminder about
okay.
that via email. So, I know. Reminder on the reminder.
All right.
The only other thing for trade show subcommittee is that the triathlon that's coming up has asked to take, which is really exciting news, they have asked to take the Morro Bay surfboards along for their trade show booth down in Los Angeles. And they should see about 10,000 participants go through there. So they're going to display the Morro Bay trade show booths and also work their booth with the Ultimate Getaway tickets and get us the distribute our Ultimate Getaway tickets and our Morro Bay brochures. So Sherry and I are working on packing all that stuff up and getting it ready for them. So that has turned out to be a really phenomenal partnership for us. They are really working with us. Sherry?
Yeah, I've met with them a couple of times, and they've got a number of events from April 6th, you know, through October, which is the triathlon season. So I think this initial setup with, you know, we can get them Morro Bay, event promotions, that they'll take it. And it's, you know, it's a really good group of people, a good demo that we're after, and they're all over it. So should be good.
Website subcommittee report. Sherry's going to be covering the website as we move forward here. And so I don't see us covering that in depth. Did the hotel packaging subcommittee meet?
Our report's done for the year, pretty much.
Right. Okay. And creative subcommittee, we are looking at right now a piece of creative for a sunset ad that's going to be running. And I'm sure Sherry will be telling us a little bit more about that ad. That's it from the creative. Public relations subcommittee, did you meet? Visitor and Conference Bureau report, County Business Improvement District report. The county BID did not meet. And visitor and conference report, Sherry left our meeting last month and went directly to a meeting about the countywide branding, and can you cover that just a little bit for us?
Yes, we went to a workshop that included many of the bids throughout the county and basically did an excellent brainstorming session. We were led by...
The actual visits in the visitor center went down, but our occupancy went up this month. When we get to TOT, we'll be looking at that. Our occupancy went up. This is actually February. I can't see January. But our smartphone visits, which people are, our smart device visits, actually the iPads themselves, is just skyrocketing. And I'm wondering if that's what people are using to... I'm not sure why it would go down like that. Any thoughts? Anyone? Any thoughts on those?
You know, I have just one question, which Craig's not here, but you know how it has fulfillment in here? Does this list anything we did maybe last year that we didn't do this year, or vice versa? Or some of these magazines, I feel like there was ones that we've done that aren't on here. Not we've done, but the previous years. But I could be wrong. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
What magazines?
I don't remember. I'm just wondering. That's what my question was. Is did we have other magazines in the previous years that we've done? I guess it would just... We're only comparing 2011 to 2012, so maybe not.
Well, yeah,
I'm thinking past. Right, but were there any other magazines that aren't listed on here that were done? So, like, budget travel's on there. So maybe that would be the answer. Budget travel's on there, but there's no figures for 2011 and no figures for 2012.
Well, we didn't advertise at all in National Geographic this year.
Right.
So
I'm just wondering if we should consider these magazines that we haven't done in over 2 years. Do they need this? Yeah. Yeah.
There's some need for cleanup, but that's information. Yeah, a lot of stuff is...
Well, we can ask Sherry to get us a list of where CPC is advertised, and then we can give them a list of where we've advertised and ask them to clean that up. So let me make note here.
It's just a minor thought. And the California Visitor's Guide, I've noticed, is on here, but do they have the little circle buttons?
They don't have the circle button anymore. They used to have, you're talking about the bingo card?
Yeah, the bingo card.
They used to have a bingo card, but they don't have a bingo card anymore, and we just...
So that may want to be something we consider taking off. It's just to clean, I mean, I just feel like we have information here that is not really relevant.
Sorry, making myself note.
I just wanted to say, you know, I think it is when you're talking about mobile media and digital sources, it's pretty indicative when you're looking at total visitors of 1380, that's walk-ins through the door versus referrals of 1060. I think they're just coming in to kind of see what our visitor center has to offer, but most people are looking for referrals digitally now, so...
I would expect a lot of these numbers to go down with the new technology that's out there. I agree.
Okay, so we will accept that for file, and then we'll ask Sherry to help us get that list of advertisers cleaned up. Okay, that is the Visitor Center report. If you can go to TOT... Here it is. Sorry.
I just wanted to make one comment. Mm-hmm. We're spending a lot of money to get people to our website and try to get them to come into our visitor center. And I think tracking where, it's always important to track things, whether people come in by foot, and this is just a little message to Craig, or by phone. If we've had total visitors of 1380, they, you know, maybe they heard about us from AAA or through the internet or Sunset or the fulfillment literature that we sent out or Coastal Living or LA Times. Nobody's tracking the source of the 1380. So we don't know where we're spending our money to get these people in. It's really important, and none of that is registered on here. So I would just suggest maybe... that the people that are taking that, getting the people come in and say, oh, where did you hear about us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's done a lot at, you know, restaurants and I think shops and hotels around town. So you're looking for a tally or a total on the report?
You have 1,380 total visitors, which I guess is phone calls plus walk-ins. Okay. Because it has total visitors. Or else, maybe it's 1,900 approximately.
Comes back. Or if you have a couple of questions or suggestions for him, we can filter it out to him. But, yeah, I agree with all the suggestions. But it's tough for him to answer us and tell us how easy or hard that would be if he's not here. So we'll wait for him to come back. Okay, so now TOT. You can see that year on year we were up occupancy percentage, down amount of rooms, and that's because some are out of inventory right now being remodeled. An average of 309.4 rooms occupied per day with an ADR of 8042 for the month of January. In case anybody wants to write those down, I don't know. 8042.
You know, it looks like the motel receipts were up about $90,000, mm-hmm. but the occupancy rate only went up 1% with less rooms.
That's right.
How could that be?
That could be based on rate.
Okay. So that means...
So the push was in rate, not in occupancy.
So hoteliers had higher rates for that month compared to last year?
We were able to capture a higher rate. The demand was there for a higher rate.
Okay.
That's right.
I have a question about this report. And on January, it shows an asterisk by the 3% TBID money. And it says that the reason is because a mobile home park is missing.
I'm sorry. I believe that any time there's something that's in question, The asterisk appears out on the end of.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say they don't put it. Okay.
Yeah, the asterisk appears all the way
right.
out. It's not. It doesn't have to do.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
When I first read it, I went hmm. And then I looked at another report, and yep, they all appear out there. There can be one, two, three different little flag symbols. So, any other questions on TOT report?
I just kind of still picking up on what Jane was saying last month. I'm having trouble believing the number of rooms again. I walked through the Inn at Moore Bay the other day, and there's a whole wing is empty. I mean, it's under remodel, mm-hmm. and I see the room count is down, but I'm not believing it's I think it's down farther than that. And it's less than 910 rooms available.
I would tend to agree with you, and I would hope that. Maybe we can show that TOT report at our stakeholders meeting and, you know, not necessarily explain how to fill it out, but explain what that room count number means. Would that be possible, Andrea, for somebody either from finance to cover a little bit about what they're looking for on that, or
certainly the new form has been sent out, and mm-hmm. in an attempt to have hoteliers report. I don't think anybody from administrative services needs to come. I think Rob will be there. I won't be there. But certainly we can talk about the hoteliers. I guess the bigger push would be for the hoteliers to actually try to fill it out as realistically as possible. I think the onus is on them.
Right. May I make a suggestion? We're going out to talk to the hoteliers and giving them a packet. Since we're going to be there anyway, why don't we talk to them about how to report their rooms?
Okay, so
pretty simple.
Maybe Andrea can. I get the form sent to me electronically because there's a couple of members on the board who don't have the form, and then I can just give it to them and explain to them how to. Pardon? I think the packets have already gone to print. But I could explain it to John and Nick, and then they could just get out there and we could all get on trying to get it corrected. Because I agree with you, there's a number of hotel rooms that are out of order and they're not being reflected here. Absolutely.
I agree with what you guys are saying, but I also think playing devil's advocate a little bit. I know. But I always love to play it. So my thing is for a lot of hoteliers, too, they're not going to fill those rooms anyways. I would never put a room out of order if I'm going to fill it. So I know we can sit and we can axe out numbers all the time. Accounting is never my strong suit. I think you can dice a number any way you want to make it look. I mean, in my opinion, I think you can always dice things. So I think, though, honestly, for January, those rooms would have never probably been sold in the first place. And I can't speak for all the hoteliers, but I would guarantee that many of them are doing these things because it's the time when we're not busy. So I know we all want to sit here and make our numbers look better, but in the real reality of it all, it's really just dicing up numbers. So just to play devil's advocate.
Nobody's remodeling in July.
There you go.
Okay. All right, then. So, you know, we can... Does everybody want to go through that exercise of telling people how to? Okay, good. Then let's nix that idea. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, if they have questions about the new report, then Rob can answer them that day.
We'll if ask. We can just...
On this, and we are looking at elevating this sunset campaign. I'm in negotiation right now with some proposals for the rest of the fiscal year. So we'll be reporting on that later. This is the TripAdvisor.com banner ads. Our banner ad campaign actually ended January 31st. Our sponsorship page stays up. That's why these clicks are so low, because we only have banner ads now on the sponsorship page. We'll be reinstituting the banner ad campaign in the new fiscal year. This is the MercuryNews.com stats for February 2012. Again, we are flip-flopping with CPC. They're doing an ad campaign every other month, and then TBID picks up the other months. We had a really good, this was a rep's comment about the click-through rate of 0.21%, which their average is 0.10, so we were pleased with that. This is an 805 Living ad that appeared in March. We've been running these every other month through the CPC as well. And 805 Living also picked up the Kite Festival press release that we sent out with some photos, so that'll appear in their April magazine that comes out March 20th. So good timing on that. This is the new RAC card, and I actually have a hard copy that I'll send around to you. CPC commissioned the new RAC card. We just got delivery from Hay Printing. They did a beautiful job. We're very happy with them. And we have about a 15,000 quantity of these that the majority are going to go out to the California Welcome Centers that we've designated. We'll have RAC cards, and then we have a few Welcome Centers that we send the visitor's guide to. So it's a big improvement from what we had, and we feel like it really covers the bases, so I'll pass that around after this report. This was our February e-blast through Constant Contact. It also went out to latimes.com, and this was all about the romance packages that were happening and romancing the big stone, and we had a big, good response to this. We talked about this last month. And then this is our March e-blast that just went out 10 days ago for the hotel specials and deals, and we used a new photographer, and he's got some really great stuff out there, and we sent this out to about 10,000 people on your database. This is the Sunset ad that is coming out in April. It is going in the April issue along with the feature for the Beach Tractors one-block party win. So there is a little tag at the bottom of the end, at the bottom of the ad, about their winning the Sunset competition. So we are also working, I think it's a little bit later in the report, we're working on some press releases that are going out to culinary and travel publications, websites, and blogs, all about their win to elevate this Sunset feature. So I think we'll have some press before and after. And the Sunset will come out March 20th, so it's just 10 days away. This was an article that was in the Tribune BizBuzz Extra all about Morro Bay. It was on the last page, really nice placement, history of Morro Bay and development all the way through. So it was a nice local piece that that appeared. And this is the weather app that's running. This is a CPC commissioned ad. It's just a mobile weather app in Bakersfield. We've done this before and have gotten some really good results as far as people being in 100-degree weather in Bakersfield. And as soon as they open the weather app, they see it's Morro Bay, and that's where they want to go. This was an article by Karen Biagini that appeared in the Tribune, and I just loved the headline. It was a beautiful article, but it really captured some good attention, and I thought it was great. Great local reporting. News releases that we have done or are working on. The Kite Festival press release obviously went out at least 6-7 weeks ago. Kite Life magazine picked it up in their March issue, and it's also posting to their new website this month. The emergency vehicle show press release is going out to all the school districts in SLO County, Santa Barbara County, and also to local publications. And then I talked about this briefly, that we're doing a pretty massive nationwide distribution of this Morro Bay Beach Tractors one block party feature. The new website, we are so close. We actually are pretty certain that we're going to hit our soft launch on Monday, March 12th. So you will be seeing, the development, and we'll be sending all of that to both boards for review. We are feverishly working on content, and it's just looking beautiful. This is the lodging page that's been developed. This is the dining page, although some of those photos are going to change. This is new visitors and returning visitors, staying about the same, good healthy return. Smartphone visitors is up from last year. Smart device visitors up wildly. These are our top 10 referring URLs. We had a huge referral from the city site. I know there was a lot going on in the city with with everything. I attribute some of it to that with a lot of the news features that were out. So that was our top. And we're looking, you know, Facebook, we're getting a lot of attention on Facebook. VisitCalifornia.com is coming around, and then some of the other websites that we're advertising on, and Yahoo, etc. Top 10 referring cities, San Luis Obispo coming in first. We've got a good showing from the Central Valley and L.A. and San Francisco. The lodging report is up. This is click-throughs from morrobay.org, up very high in February. And Jackrabbit is also very healthy. We've had a couple of issues with Jackrabbit, but they seem to be resolving. And we are in the process of changing the Jackrabbit search engine over to the new site, which has been a challenge, but I'm glad we're ahead of the game on it. This is TOT for this fiscal year. We are up again in January, which was good, and we're hoping just to see that continue on an upward progression. These are the email addresses that were added, and obviously with some trade show and booth events starting to happen, we hope that this is going to grow. And this is Facebook. This is a pretty healthy number for us. We haven't often hit 100 in a month. The week of the 19th to the 25th was when our ultimate getaway couple was here. We posted a lot. They were fabulous. They reported back to us, sent us emails and pictures, and so we were posting all the time on Facebook and got a lot of likes, 63 likes during that posting period. And this is some of the posting from the Ultimate Getaway. We were just, posting, letting them know that that Lucia and Tony Seebach had won the Ultimate Getaway and what they were doing on a day-to-day basis in Morro Bay. And then we created a landing page about their trip, which also let people. There were a lot of questions on Facebook. Are you still doing this, contest? So we set up a page and a link that people could go see what the winners were doing, but they could also sign up. So we've had a good response to that. And that's just more of the page of all of their. They had a fabulous time, and we were worried about them spending 5 days in Morro Bay, but they couldn't even get to everything that they wanted to do. So it's a lot of fun. And this is more Facebook posts, pictures.
Do you have the picture of them riding Missouri?
I think it's up there.
It's fabulous.
Maybe it's
you know,
not.
While we look for that, I think this Ultimate Getaway and having this great couple here for 5 days visiting different businesses and posting stuff on Facebook, I think it's really it turned out to be really a great advertising for Morro Bay and people that maybe normally wouldn't even consider Morro Bay, friends of these people and other people visiting this site. I think it's just a wonderful low expense type of a promotion of Morro Bay.
Yeah, I agree. We talk a lot about that peer, that people listen to their peers. That's why they go to Yelp. That's why they go to TripAdvisor. And this is as grassroots as you can get. These people are in. And, thank goodness we got somebody that I'm not sure that I would want somebody trailing me around on my vacation. But they were just a lot of fun, very gracious, and, they had a ball. They'll be back. And they indeed said that they have a son at Cal Poly, and they'd never stayed in Morro Bay before. And they said, we've never thought of staying in Morro Bay. And now, that'll be their first choice. So, great comments. This is more Facebook posts. I'm trying to... this was before President's Day weekend, and we just posted, where's your favorite place to stay in Morro Bay? And I think we got 45 comments. Everybody had some, some favorite place and where, it was their uncle's house or no. But we had a lot of fun with that. Twitter, we had talked about this last time. It's really taken off. We've been doing some more active posting to Twitter and getting lots of great responses, tons of pictures. There's some businesses that have been identified on the Twitter posts and, just some great photos. And that concludes the marketing report for February.
Questions? I don't have any questions on the marketing report per se. I do want to ask Andrea a question. Is there any way, since, I mean, I know we've discussed this a little bit before, and now there's a link, a small link that says visitor on the website, the city government website. And I was wondering if there could be anything where there's a larger presence that says, are you visiting Morro Bay? Click here.
Actually, about 4 months ago, we changed that from the small link to a big brown button at the very top, and I think it coincides with the times. And I meant to say the other day, the last meeting, it coincides directly with the times when Sherry's been saying there's been an increase, and I think it's directly reason. So it's got those five. It's got, you know, doing business, and then there's visitors, and that goes directly to the website. So that was added, I think, about 4 months ago.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So that's, there you go. And, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't remember which slide it was, but it was the one that there was.
And then just for the board, there were some hotels that had zeros on Jackrabbit. I'm working with Steve Mead on that. Picked up the phone and called him yesterday. A couple of hotels have changed their res system and did not let us know that their res system changed, and you can't scrape if you don't have the information. So we're working on getting their res system loaded back into California Book Direct so we can continue to move that forward. It's all about communication. So as we move forward on that, that should be corrected. You'll see on next month's stats that'll be corrected in case you had a question on that. Any other questions? It looks good. We're picking up.
Yeah, I think just a comment. I appreciate the way you're reporting this stuff. You know, the Facebooks and Twitters and all that kind of stuff. That, I mean, it sort of goes to what Nick was saying, that it's very cheap advertising. But unless somebody's out there looking at it and showing it and picking it up and demonstrating it, you don't know what's going on. And I think it's really reaching an audience that, you know, may not be reading Sunset Magazine, one, and two, like you say, it's probably the most important referral is from somebody you know or is from a peer. And those are really, really powerful positive comments about Morro Bay.
It's great to have the audience that we do on those pages because, you know, some cities don't. Or, you know, you have to grow that, but you've got such a loyal, you know, a lot of them are locals, too, that are just expounding on Morro Bay, saying, we love it here, we can't, you know. So it's been a really good exchange, and I agree, it's we need to be there.
The Seabucks on their way out stopped back by the hotel and chatted with me because I was their contact point for kind of getting them around for the ultimate getaway for 5 days. Ah! And they expressed to me that, they said to me, you know, everybody in Morro Bay is so nice. Like, everybody you bump into, even the people who don't know that we're the ultimate getaway winner, we just felt like we were treated like family here. Like, you know, we were treated like gold everywhere. And even at every restaurant we ate at, all the chefs came out and talked to us, but we saw them talking at other tables. And we loved it here. And so they planned on just continually talking. They were thrilled. Absolutely thrilled. So you're right. It's great advertisement for us. But anyways, so that concludes the ad agency report, unless anybody has anything else for Sherry. No? Okay, we'll accept that then. And now we move to new business. And let us see. The preliminary review of community event funding requests. And we do have here to set a special review date if we would like to do that. And so we did receive, and did everybody have time to go by and pick up their packets? Okay. So we did receive what looks to be 4 requests for funding for the next year. And one is a request from Morro Bay Fourth. Let's put them in order and order these Morro Bay Fourth as one. Harbor Festival is number 2. Let's see here. Oyster Festival is number 3. And we have a 4th one, and that is the Maritime Museum is number 4. And so putting it all together and adding it up, it's about $65,000 worth of requests for funding, which is about 15% of the budget. for the following year. And I'm wondering if what maybe we should do is what we discussed a few months ago when we discussed developing this into a once a year annual thing, is that we allow everyone to come up to the microphone, give us a quick 3 to 5 minute synopsis, very quick 3 to 5 minute synopsis, and then take this back to a subcommittee for recommendations to the board for next month or for a special meeting, which is what we had discussed a while back. Thoughts?
What I would appreciate, and especially in light of there being new boards, new funding possibly, et cetera, coming down the line, I would like the budget committee to do an impact of funds, a proposed impact of this stuff. If we're going to be doing all that, I think that would be good for me to see what budget impact says. If we fund this, this is how it's going to affect this, because you guys know you work on the budget.
Yeah, I guess a couple of thoughts. I think having everything coming in at one time is good, because you see how much money is being requested, first of all, so give us a better handle on that in one category, and other things may go into another category. But I'd like to see probably this go to a subcommittee and kind of hash all those issues out and then come back to us with some recommendations about a more formal process or a set of guidelines that we would go use evaluating these requests in the future, and also that we could give to people who are submitting the requests, so they have a better idea of what's gonna fly and what's not going to fly.
I agree. I think one thing for me, I think with all these changes going on, is I agree with Jane. We need to figure out how that's going to impact our budget, because I think there's a lot of unanswered questions for the board and our budget and what's coming down the pike. And I would hate to say we can get, you know, $65,000 is a lot of money. Obviously, it doesn't mean we're granting it all, but obviously it's being requested. So I think we need to really get a handle on our budget before we can do anything forward. I would love to see us move this to a future date, maybe a special meeting, and we just deal with this, because I think we know this could be lengthy in itself with four proposals, and if we allow them all time for comment, that right there could be 30 minutes in itself. So
we do have questions on that.
Okay, so you know, there's a couple of things with that. I completely agree with you. The first thing is we'd have to chat with Susan Slayton about what she might be forecasting for the future budget for next year, so yeah. But I do believe that we should hear from these folks so that the board has a few minutes of open microphone that we can ask, open dialogue, thank you, that we can ask questions back to everyone from. But let us limit this if we can at all, because when we break into subcommittee, we have the contact information, too, that we can call and meet with these folks via subcommittee individually and drill down on any more, you know, budgetary questions to help us answer those questions. So in the essence of time and moving forward, is there anyone here from 4th of July that would like to speak? Morbay 4th?
No, but I've got a question publicly that I can make comment. Okay. On the proposed event budget, I do want to...
On Morbay 4th?
Morbay 4th. It is going from a three-day event to a one-day event. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for us to know that. And also, on this income, they have money left over in their bank account of, like, I think it's $15,000 or $18,000.
Right.
And it's not on here anywhere. Okay? So I didn't see it. So those would be, like, the two questions that I would... like answered.
Okay, so you're looking for a...
So when you go to subcommittee on this, okay, if you guys could find that out, I would really appreciate it.
Okay, so speaking of that, did we form a subcommittee for this yet?
Well, they just asked budget to do it. Why? Did you want to jump in on that?
No, I was just... I just need to remind... So the budget committee is going to be the committee...
I would be on that subcommittee.
I would, personally. But
Joan, I would be on that subcommittee.
Okay, so do we want to form a new subcommittee to look at these?
I think we need to go through these, and then if we have questions, the budget committee can review them. Do the the subcommittee for this will also do the impact. I think budget committee has to do the impact, period. And then I think another subcommittee needs to be formed just for these requests. It should be an ongoing, I guess it's twice a year or once a year.
Once a year
meeting with a subcommittee, and that's just on this. So that the budget committee does an impact study, submits that to the subcommittee, and then we, after we hear from everybody, then we go ahead and make our decisions.
I think it's difficult to have two subcommittees. We're breaking the Brown Act. Are we breaking the Brown Act, having two subcommittees? Dealing with one issue? I mean, do we have...
No, it's separate issues.
No, you don't, but you're confident you don't have a subcommittee comprised of three individuals that currently... I mean,
no,
I don't...
I'm confident
have
we
a,
have
You have
three
a number of subcommittees. Do you have one that could... That came, you know exactly what I mean.
Would you like me to list them?
No, I've got a list.
Anyway, moving right along, those were my two questions about Morro Bay Fort.
Morro Bay Fort, next questions for them, because as we drill down on budget with them or anything, any other issues, the question here is, do you want the budget subcommittee to do this? Because if another subcommittee is forming, they should just take the whole thing.
No, I think the budget committee could do this, period. End of comment.
So you're unvolunteering yourself. That's what you're saying. Uh-huh. Sounded like you were. Okay. Okay, she's still on to go on this. Okay, so you want a bank balance on this of their reserves?
Yeah, I think we need to know. They have reserves. I know that because they reported.
We'll have to talk to them about that. Okay, so how many days?
Was Dan informed, or was anybody in the 4th of July informed they needed to be here for this meeting?
It says it on the application.
Yes.
Okay, so number two, we have, is Steve Buffalo here with the Harbor Festival? Harbor Festival? There's nobody here from the Harbor Festival, so we will have to contact them, meet with them as a subcommittee, and bring this back to you. And number three, Oyster Festival, and I do see Jacqueline. Jacqueline, up to the microphone.
Yay!
All
Hi
right,
again.
Here we go.
So my request...
I'm sorry, can you just state your name as you start?
Oh, Jacqueline Delaney. My request is if we can meet after this year's event, because I really, there's so much information that could change based on how this year goes. So, my form is just filled out kind of basic because I really would like to see what goes well, what doesn't go well, that sort of thing based on our first year, and then right afterwards we can meet and then decide on next year if we can do that.
Okay, so what you're looking to do is have this be a placeholder?
Yes. Is that a possibility? It's just really difficult to anticipate, so much of the first year stuff comes together and then you know what to do right and what not to do for the next year. And so I think I would have such a stronger, presentation if we could do this right after the event.
I don't see a problem with that, but how does that work on our end? Right.
Well, everyone looks at me. We're feeling our way through the new guidelines. If this is a placeholder, what we can do is, we can build what she is requesting, and we can look at what we funded this year, and we can kind of build our ideas around that and maybe talk to her about why she's requesting one. I think you're also requesting one. Are you going to a two-day event next year? Did I read that, or am I reading
Yeah, possibly. So, that's also to be determined. So much of it is to be determined, and also what was successful for this year. I still have another request for this year, too, and I want to see how well that works. So that would also determine how much I'm going to ask for next year. I put that number out there, just reaching for the stars kind of thing.
Okay.
And then if... based on how things go this year, I'll look at it realistically and be able to say, okay, let's put that money towards this again, let's put this money towards that, and be able to present much better.
Okay, so the subcommittee, I think, can kind of talk to you a little bit
okay.
further about what you're thinking,
sure.
Especially since your event falls right in June, right kind of towards the end of our fiscal fiscal year.
And I can give you updates because each month there's quite a bit that shows me, okay, this is working and we'll definitely do this next year. So I can kind of give you those updates and show you, yeah, let's definitely do this and let's not do that.
Okay, sounds good. A question?
I have a question.
Sure.
If you're asking for the fund, I think it's important that we know what you want to spend it on.
Correct. It's and just that I would be able to better explain that once I've done mm-hmm. this year's. Right now there's funds allocated to certain things this year.
Right.
But I can't say that that would be the same for next year because we're going to base it on the success of this year and what worked and what didn't work.
Okay.
This is a first-year event ever for Morro Bay, and the first event big, like we're having like this out at the golf course, so she's doing it out at the golf course. So she's got a lot of ground building or whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
foundation building
yeah.
to do.
Yes, yeah.
So once she has that foundation, what she's saying is she's going to have a better idea.
All right, I have a question, just to
sure.
clarify. So this is just if I have a successful event, I want you guys to earmark $25,000 so that I can get it to start working on next year. Perfect. Okay. Now, my question is, I got something in an email about a writers' conference, which is tacking on to the Oyster Festival, correct, for this year?
Correct.
Right, and that's
therefore,
coming up later. That's a FAM tour that's coming up.
Later. Right, but does that go into funding requests or into something else?
That's a FAM tour.
Okay, so that has nothing to do with the Oyster Festival for this year.
It's bringing in.
Wait, yes, it does?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
It's not a funding request. What it is we're bringing
right.
in a media FAM tour in conjunction with the CBID, but they are going to come in Oyster Festival weekend, and the itinerary is built around them visiting the Oyster Festival.
Yeah, okay, because isn't it the writers' conference?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is different.
Okay.
I think the writers' conference
okay.
is in May, and this is for specifically that.
All right.
while we have you at the microphone,
yes.
I think it would be nice for the board to know. Board, it would be nice for you to know since you helped to fund the development of her website. Your website is live. Can you please? That's okay. We're happy you're here.
Okay. So skip the first three pages because that's regarding the media tour. But the next few pages are pictures and imagery of the layout so far, and that we keep working on that. We have another site walk for the layout. It's also an image here, which I'd love you all to see this image right here. Because this is going to be huge. I've hired this company called the Do Lab, and they build structures for festivals. They build structures for festivals like Coachella and Lightning in the Bottle. And to make a really good point of, you know, Facebook and Twitter and those types of things, these people have hundreds of thousands of people following them. So we're able to utilize their sources for promoting the Oyster Festival because they're building the structures for the event. So we're going to have these beautiful structures at the event, and so when people drive by this or see this or there's imagery after the first year, they're going to be blown away by how beautiful it was. One of the pieces we're putting up is this one, which you don't have a picture of, but it's this is 30 foot tall, and we're going to light it up Friday night, and then it's really beautiful. You want me to put it on here?
Can you put that on the overhead so they can show it? AGP, can you see that AGP? I'm not sure. They'll come. I knew he'd come out. Thank you.
Thank you. So there's going to be these two big structures. This one that you have a picture of is called the Pagoda. We're going to make like a oyster raw bar and wine and martinis and champagne and stuff in there, and it's going to be a really nice thing. It's not just going to be a typical white tents and walkways, you know, that's going to have these really pretty elements. They're also building the stage for the event, so it's not going to be this big black, you know, stage in the middle of this beautiful golf course. It's going to have wood and colorful elements to it also. So this kind of thing as far as press,
social media is just huge for us because their following is so big, and they already, you know, an event like Coachella, who is very familiar with what they do, they sell 60,000 tickets to Coachella, and it's two weekends in a row, and they sold out within 4 hours, two weekends of 60,000 tickets. So this is the kind of following the Dolab has that we're going to be able to ride kind of on that media and that press behind that for this event. So when I'm listening to the media packet that Barnett Cox has put together, I would love for us to be able to cross over all of these sources with all of these little elements. So, you know, maybe we meet or however we work that out. But even, you know, and I know this is off, I haven't written this down, but I just was realizing if there's some way we can put even on some of the ads that are being run over the next couple of months, just a little like Starburst type of thing or something about the Oyster Festival. And then also the tracking will show us if an event kind of directs more clicks too, you know, that will help gauge, you know, another way of what's working and what's not working. But if we could kind of, if I could possibly piggyback on all of those media sources about the event, we, you know, and I'm looking at some of the ads, and they wouldn't really need to be changed, but just maybe a little piece about the Oyster Festival coming up to drive people here that weekend, then, you know, we'll have that tracking, too, to see the change that happened based on directing an event. The other thing that I don't have printed for you because I just found out this morning is I was able to secure Walk Off the Earth. It's a cover band for Gautier, and right now, in the music industry, Gautier is huge, and he's partnered with Kimbra, and he's at all these major events. You can't even get him if you want. Well, this cover band out of Canada did a cover of their song, and they have real high energy and a lot of great songs and stuff. They put their video on YouTube, and it has 65 million hits on it. So this is another viral source that's, like, we go back to the social media and the free advertising that we get. This is such a huge little twist that we can add to this festival and cross it over with the Morro Bay website, with the Facebook and Twitters, and tag all of these elements that Walk Off the Earth is coming. They've never been anywhere near the West Coast. We're flying them out here for this event to do this. So this is their contract with them that I started this morning or finalized this morning is that they're willing to promote all through their social networking, which their Facebook has like over 100,000 people, and then their Twitters, and then their YouTube video has all those hits, so we can post that video, kind of ride on all those things, and it's going to cross-promote Morro Bay. So I can meet with Sherry, and we can kind of, I have it all laid out kind of what I want to cross over between the Dolab company and the structures, and then this Walk Off the Earth, you know, we'll coordinate all that, and then I would love to. I have a, you know, graphic designer that put the website together, and if any of you have seen it, I think it's beautiful. I'm really excited about it. I love our logo, and it's a nice little piece that can be branded on things and T-shirts and stuff. And so I would love to add that element to all of the advertising sources that are out there for the next couple months through June. That way, we have like the email blast that goes out. If we could have a little blurb, and maybe it clicks through to the website too, or something like that.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then I do know we already have at least 28 rooms booked for the Oyster Festival. That was even before the website went up. We also have two vacation rentals booked for a week, and I don't have the details of which rooms and which. So I'm gathering how to make sure we get that information to you. So I'm contacting those people so I can report that to you afterwards. But already at this point, we haven't even advertised yet until this last few days on Facebook, but they even booked it before that. So I'm really excited that I think we're going to see a big blow up once our advertising goes out next week.
So information for you. I called around to a few hotels, to friends, and I said, you know, I'll share with you if you share with me. And I gave them my occupancy information for that weekend last year.
Okay.
And as best as I can figure out, town was about somewhere between 72 and 75% occupancy on Friday night.
Okay.
And
can I grab my pen? I want to write this off.
I'll shoot it to you in an email. And town was somewhere between, on Saturday night, was somewhere between about
82% and 85% occupied that Saturday night. So we were soft that Saturday night, too, in June. So there is some wiggle room, and I think where the hoteliers will see it also is in rate.
Okay, good.
So
and that's something we'll look at, too, after this
mm-hmm.
year.
Yep.
Selecting the ideal weekend also. I mean, if it ends up being that we decide June 16th isn't the ideal weekend next year, that's fine. I want to make sure
it's right.
We get the biggest impact.
Okay.
Let me make sure.
Okay. Question, Alex?
I had a question on a date because I think that June is probably a busy month for all the hotels anyway. Regarding we have that kind of events. I think it's a great event, by the way. I think it's good for the city. But would it be like if you move it to May or some other time would make a difference, or it's a certain reason we decided to be June 15th?
Yes, we're looking at the beginning of the summer, and then my meetings previously with the board was that's the date we decided on based on what else is going on the different weekends. I'm open, though, to looking at October, and late September. No? So I'm just saying.
I think October is busy. So March, there's nothing in March, but I know there's a wind weather thing.
Yeah.
But March, there's not one event in March. I went through just recently and went through all the events. There's nothing in March. It's the only month we don't do anything here.
I'm going to gather everybody back in and say, let's discuss the date with her as a subcommittee instead of trying to drill down on it right now with the eight of us. So, and we have other people that we need to hear from.
Right.
So we'll talk date with her a little bit more.
Yeah, but I'm open for.
Okay. So. Okay. I just pulled up the Oyster Festival 2012 website. It's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something I noticed right away. It's not linked to morrobay.org at all, and there's nothing about lodging.
It's just not up yet.
Okay, this has not been launched?
It just was launched, yes. But
okay.
If you go to the visitors page, that it says coming soon. I've been gathering the hotel information.
So that's what you can work with Sherry with, because I would really like to
see that.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah. We put that up, and then we're working on
and
this page,
too. I love, absolutely love the way you have that shuck yeah.
You like that?
That is great.
Okay, good. We're thinking of doing T-shirts that say shuck it, and then using all those little,
I just sent her the list of all the URLs last night, which is why it's so important for everyone to confirm the URLs with the hoteliers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and thank you.
Yep.
So that should be, we our tickets go on sale March 15th. We should have all of that complete. A lot of it is, there's some little promotions we want to do, and that's something that's presented today also that I want to include in the website before we launch that visitors page. On the sponsor page, there's a link if you go to the sponsor page, and it's you'll see the participant area, and for the business owners here, it's a really beautiful setup. The link to whoever is participating or sponsoring, it pulls open a little page all about them, and it's a really pretty thing, not just a link and that's it. It has a little.
But I thought what I could do is give you some background information about our organization, some of the things we've done, and then a little bit about the project itself, the museum project, and then maybe get to this interim display about the submarine. So our organization's been around since the early 90s. We've been a nonprofit since about 95. I've been with them since 94. All along, our mission was to build a world-class maritime museum on the Central Coast, and it became very clear early on in our look around that Morro Bay was the ideal place. It has the foot traffic. We did look at Avila. We looked at other places. We looked at teaming up with the lighthouses and so forth. But it just made more sense to do it in Morro Bay. So a long time ago, we resolved that it would be the Morro Bay Maritime Museum, not the Central Coast Maritime Museum. That's the name of our association. But it will be a maritime museum in Morro Bay on the waterfront. This is a partnership effort between the city and our organization, and it's evolved over a long period of time, but I'll say that we've had more progress in the last 14, 15 months than the previous 10 years for a lot of reasons. But witness the fact that we have the interim exhibit down there right now with the Coast Guard boat that happened last May. But going back a little bit, a lot of the things that we've done are imprint on the community, if you will, would have to do with, like, for example, the Tidelands Anchor. That was something that we brought to Morro Bay that was donated by Chevron, and we brought it to Morro Bay years ago and set it there. The tall ships, the tradition of the tall ships coming to Morro Bay was started by our efforts years ago. You may recall back in 1999, the tall ship Endeavor, which is the replica of the Captain Cook vessel, was brought here. Our organization signed an agreement with the Endeavor Foundation and National Geographic Society. We brought them here. We had conditions that we had to live up to. We had to provide them dock space. We worked with the city on that. Provide them tour guides. We trained 100 tour guides in this room one evening. And we had 10,000 people go through it in a week. And the only places in the world that broke that record were Newport Beach, California, Portsmouth, and Portsmouth, England. In fact, it was so busy in England that they had to bring lights down because the Queen came down through it, and they had tours going until 10 o'clock at night. We did pretty well for a county of 250,000 people. We reached out to the San Joaquin Valley, and what it really showed, and one of the reasons we took that project on, is that there was a pent-up demand for cultural amenities, things to see, things that are relatively inexpensive or free, historical cultural amenities. And we've been marketing for a long time the idea that economic revitalization can be had using public history. And if you look around even locally at places that have used that theme either through their design or architecture, a good example is San Luis Obispo with the Mission Plaza. You know, when I was a kid, you could drive right through there and get off on the steps. But then years ago in the late 60s, then Mayor Ken Schwartz, who was an architecture professor, got the idea to close it off and turn it into a pedestrian mall. And a lot of people said, no, you're just crazy. You're going to screw up parking and everything else. No, he said, when you get people out walking, they spend more money. And you need to think about that. And they did, and they did it. And, you know, 30 or 40 years later, look what we have. We have a vital little kind of nucleus of the historic downtown core of San Luis Obispo that has given or spawned dividends for years and years. We see the Maritime Museum in a similar way. Sure, it has the actual specific interpretive components, but it's also symbolic of the fact that this, of the maritime tradition of the waterfront, fishing, going back to World War II, and all many manifestations of maritime activity. So for a long time, we've been researching the aspects of cultural tourism. The National Trust for Historic Preservation puts out data. People who go to museums spend more money. They stay longer. That's just an empirical fact. And we can provide that for you sometime if you'd like to see it. That information is pretty widely available. So we've been pushing this project for a long time. The difficult thing has been trying to nail down a site in a design that's palatable, that's in the keeping with the scale of Morro Bay. We have that design. It's about a 1,500-square-foot building right about where the Coast Guard boat is right now in the little kiosk. And it will have around it static displays of small craft. Well, one of the issues associated with using that site is the fact that it's technically a street right now. It's part of this street right out here, as a matter of fact. And we're working with the city. Did you know that? Surf Street actually goes down the bluff out. And so it's difficult for a city to write, and Rob Schultz is here, he could probably articulate this better than I can, but in terms of the streets and highways codes and other laws and regulations, it's put this equipment on and take it anywhere in the world in 24 hours where they can dispatch it to rescue down submarines. NATO submarines are our own. These vehicles, the Mystic being one, have been replaced. So it's older technology, but they're very unusual. And again, they'll be the only ones available in the world on display. We'll have the only one on display in the world. People will be able to get very close to it, about for me to that monitor, so they won't go inside. It won't be available for tours on the inside, at least not immediately. We've been working very closely with Congresswoman Lois Capp's office in Washington, D.C., and the Navy Historic Center at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C., and the Deep Submergence Unit in San Diego. So it's taken about a year to do this, to get permission. So we're asking for a grant to help us facilitate the movement of it up here and the display of it. And we plan to do that late May, June. A lot of it depends on these logistical issues, but also when the city is done with its construction activities down at the site there, because we kind of want that to be done because they'll have a large crane and a couple of large trucks and so forth. And we're perfectly willing to upfront the funding, and we could invoice your board so you would have specific invoices for things that you see there, the hauling, the crane operator, and that sort of thing. So with that, if you have any questions.
I think we probably will have questions. I think most of them will probably come from the subcommittee, unless anybody has a question right now.
Question. Larry, would it be here indefinitely? I mean, this is going to be here indefinitely, and it's going to be an ongoing type of, a museum or
our letter, site? The letter that went to from the Navy Historic Center to San Diego said long-term loan. We don't own it outright. Because the Navy looks at it as an artifact, mm-hmm. They look at that submarine just like it would be John Paul Jones' diary. It belongs to the Navy, and if they ever wanted it, they could take it. That's not unusual. They loan out lots of stuff. But unlike large surface ships like the USS Missouri or something, those are actually donated. Those organizations own them. But there are still strings attached. Anytime mm-hmm. you take any kind of military piece of equipment, there's always a string attached to the condition you keep it in, mm-hmm. how you interpret it, and that sort of thing. But the short answer to your question is it would be a long-term arrangement if, for all intents and purposes, it would be permanent.
Mm-hmm. Larry, assuming that arrangement may be predicated on the development of the museum itself, my question then is, how is the museum putting together funds? I'm assuming you formed a 501c3, and are you doing fundraising? Are you doing grant writing? How is that being taken?
Yeah, we've been a 501c3 since 1995. We've had some grants. We had some folks leave their estates to us. But the big attempts at going, and we have some grant opportunities that we're looking at, but under the advice of our banker, we have Coast National Bank, and one of their vice presidents, Charlie Fruit, is pretty well versed in nonprofit. And we agree that between our board and Charlie that until we have some sort of site control, until we have some sort of entitlement to the property, it would be unwise for us to go for capital funds to a grant source for that. We will be going for a grant source for some other smaller projects. But as far as, the $400,000 construction project for the museum, that's about what it will take to get us our doors open, about another $400,000 in addition to what we have. We're waiting till we have site control, and we hope that'll happen sometime in calendar year 2012.
And you now have an agreement with the city for the site. You're just working out the fine-tuned contracts for a long-term lease or however you're structuring that?
Yes and no. There's a resolution that allows the city to move forward, city staff to move forward, with the requisite steps to get to the point where they can write a long-term use agreement. And then we have an encroachment permit that allows us to put an interim display down there. So there's sort of two things going on at the same time.
Any other questions? Okay, so we will probably be contacting you via...
I believe my phone number is on if you go to our website, there's a link there for emails, and it's checked every day.
Okay, and we will be contacting you to probably set up a time where we can either chat with you or meet with you to get a little bit more in-depth about this.
Sure.
From the
separate park. So what I'll do is just focus on a couple of the changes for this year. As we all know, the 4th of July is on a Wednesday this year. It's bit different this year. It's not a real natural long weekend. It's, we're hoping that it turns into a 5-day weekend. That's for visitors to decide, I guess. We're enticing them into town for hopefully a long weekend with an extended day of events. We've worked and got a commitment from AmpSurf, which is a veteran amputee group. They're going to put on a surfing clinic the morning of the 4th of July out at the Rock. It's going to go from approximately 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then we're still trying to work out an arrangement with a motorcycle group, the Patriot Riders, to participate in an extended version of the parade that's traditionally just been a bike parade, but we're thinking that we can have the AmpSurf group kind of lead the charge, followed by the motorcycle group, and then we're really excited to have Jack Smith again agree to put on the Morro Bay Mile. See Jack here. The event was awesome last year, although it was not on the 4th of July, so what we noticed last year was with the bike parade, we had the streets of the Embarcadero lined with spectators, and so we think that that's really going to be great for the skateboarding event, too, to, you know, we're already going to have the spectators lining the street, now we're going to have the skateboard race go down, and then all of it's going to be followed by the bike parade, which we're anticipating additional growth this year, hopefully around 700 to 800 participants. Let's see, as far as the bands this year, we're going to reduce the number of bands, but hopefully beef up the quality. You know, the bands we've had have been great, but we're looking for some real headline quality bands. Ideally, I'm not the one who's trying to arrange bands, but we're looking for a Nickelodeon quality kids band to start the event, the day off. Then a band that might appeal to maybe a younger crowd, and then a band that would appeal to an older crowd. We're trying to incorporate stuff for everyone to enjoy. Let's see, we're on our third year with a partnership with a local radio station. They offer us about $20,000 of promotion for free. It's all promotion within our county to residents, North County, South County, all around. We're going to be not only promoting the event itself, but also some of the fundraising events that lead up to the 4th of July. So there will be ongoing promotion. You know, our first fundraising event that we actually have confirmed is Tognazzini's Beer and Oyster Feast. It's the third annual. So we're going to have a month of promotion of that event leading up to it in, I think the date for that is May 20th. We're also finalizing the wine raffle that we did last year with Stax Wine Bar. And so there would be about 30 days of promotion leading up to that. And then we're trying to get a third fundraising event like that. Last year we worked with Harbor Hut for the Harbor Hut Luau. We haven't yet confirmed anything for that, but again, there'd be lead up promotion, local promotion for that if we do confirm it. And then our attempt this year to try to extend the event and make it a long weekend is working with the Morro Bay Merchants Association. They're going to have a merchants event on Saturday the 7th is the date that they're looking at. And then one other thing that I didn't really mention in this packet is that we're working with the Gorilla Gardener group to make the event a zero-waste event, or as much as we can. We're also revising our vendor contracts to make sure that they're operating within our guidelines, not using, you know, the materials that just go straight into the landfill. So there is a little bit of additional cost. It's pretty nominal to help bring that effort through. Let's see, what else should I highlight? 2 years in a row, we've enjoyed a 4% year-over-year increase in occupancy. I don't know that we are trying to take full credit for that. We believe we play a part in it, and hopefully the trend can continue. You know, we do believe that the 4th of July does, you know, keep Morro Bay on people's minds and keep them coming back year after year. Just trying to see if there's anything else important that I need to cover.
We did have a couple of questions for you. Would you mind taking questions?
That'd be great.
Okay. Takes the burden off of you.
Yeah.
Back on us. There were a couple of questions that were brought up. One is that we believed that you had a reserve bank balance, and we didn't see that that was reflected.
Yeah, I provided a profit and loss, not the balance sheet. We do have a reserve bank balance. I want to say it's in the neighborhood of $15,000 or so. Okay. Our goal when we formed our group 2 years ago was to accumulate, talked about having the city assist us with that, maybe some free storage. You know, it is a city. It would be a barge that, you know, for general use. One thing, I'm still negotiating our fireworks contract, too. Part of what we're looking at maybe doing is adding an off-season show to complement the boat parade, because that would be cool.
Would be really cool.
It would be. It's a less expensive show because it is off-season. You know, it would hopefully help with the donation effort and funding requests that we do. That we're a group of 8 volunteers. Last year we were like 16 volunteers. Just due to people being busy with lives and work, there's less of us now, and so it's kind of fighting an uphill battle. And a lot of the energy is spent on fundraising, and unfortunately, 100% of our fundraising group is no longer with us. So all the folks who work on the operations side are now taking over the fundraising effort. It's not easy, it's time consuming, and those of us who have remained on the board are as busy as everyone else. We're all employed and working. None of us do this professionally or full time. So we're doing our best, and we're trying to do something that's beneficial for the city.
Okay.
And that's really...
And then, so when we were, one of the questions we had was, last year the event was 3 days. This year it is going to be the day of the 4th of July.
Right, expanded program on the day of, and then working with the Morro Bay Merchants to have a merchant event on Saturday following.
On Saturday, okay.
And what we're hearing from a lot of the hotels is we're seeing bookings coming in from, like, either Tuesday night or Wednesday, extending through that weekend. So it seems like the weekend after is the natural place to have something else go on.
Yeah, the weekend after. Okay. And so, Dan, unless anybody on the board has more questions for you, what we would ask you to do is maybe make yourself available to meet with the budget subcommittee or the subcommittee that's elected to discuss this during the next 30 or 45 days-ish.
Definitely.
So that we can drill down a little bit further on the issue. But I believe Member Mendoza has a question for you.
Morning. You know, on under projected tourism benefits, under expected number of room nights generated, it has 20,000. I was just wondering how you would come to that. Or how.
You have a non-hotel person here attempting to fill out a form.
We want that number, Dan. Deliver.
I can do math, though. So what I did was figured that there were 4 nights between the Wednesday of the event and the Sunday when people would be leaving, 4,000 out-of-town participants traveling more than 50 miles. I took my 4,000, or maybe it was 5 nights,
yeah.
And multiplied by 5. That's
right.
How I came up with it. If I'm, you know, you guys are better at estimating that kind of thing than I am.
Los Osos and Cayucas would love us.
Right.
Cambria.
I did want to mention one more thing, because I know, you know, that the goal is not to come here every year after year, to have you guys support our event. The idea is, ideally, that we're a self-sustaining event. That's our goal to try to do. This year, I believe, and I'm, you know, working with our board to figure out how to achieve that goal, we were handed a gift, in my opinion, from the Chamber of Commerce. It's the Chilean Beer Festival that they used to do. I know that there are these types of events around the county that are very lucrative events. We were handed it fairly recently, not enough advance notice to make it an income generator this year. But it is something that we're working on in our small group to be an income generator for hopefully the following year and years after. You know, I know some of these events, they sell $40, $50 a ticket and have thousands of participants. So it could be pretty huge for our event if we can pull it off. So we do have prospects to make it a self-sustaining event in the future. This year, unfortunately, we couldn't put it all together with our small group to be self-sustaining this year.
And by the way, we appreciate everything you and your group do to get 4th of July off the ground. That's huge for this city, and it's huge exposure for us, you know, for the entire city for the rest of the year. I do want to ask Andrea,
Do you know when that dredging might start and who he might connect with in order to?
I'm with you. I understand your question.
Yeah.
I knew what that word meant. I think the difference this year is that we're doing entrance dredging, which we do every year. Last year, I believe we did channel dredging, and I think that's who you worked with. So I can certainly give you the name of the organization that may be doing it this year, but it's a different dredging project, and I don't know if they'll be able to help out as they did last year, but certainly I can provide that information.
Do you know? But I'm on the board of the Harbor Festival, and I was on the board of the Harbor Festival back in 2000 when it was a great event for the city of Morro Bay, but I am also here to introduce to you our new executive director who's on the Harbor Festival, who joined us a couple months ago from Southern California. He's got some great ideas. We're here to reinvent the whole thing. We forwarded our request to you, and I'm here to introduce Steve Buffalo, our executive director. But before as he's walking up, I want to also introduce to you Karen, who put us through trials and tribulations through last year. We almost didn't make it last year, but I can tell you that we're live and well, and we're going to reinvent the whole system and make this the best event in the city of Morro Bay as it used to be. Thank you. And Steve,
come on
up. And Karen, thank you.
Hi, Steve. Welcome to Morro Bay and welcome to the Harbor Festival.
Well, glad to be here. It's a great community, and I'm enjoying the experience. And you have a wonderful event. I attended this event several years ago when Galen McCard was the executive director up here. I've been here a couple times. I've spent a lot of time on the Central Coast. And I understand how this event is the premier event in Morro Bay, and arguably the premier two-day festival on the Central Coast. So I think it has a lot of importance to this community, being a tourism community. And I think you have, John had submitted the report to you, the information. How I kind of view this is not only are you looking at room nights for the event during that two-day event period or over a three-day period, but also I think there's a spinoff effect into the future. In other words, I see it as something that what you generate in terms of marketing and bringing people here for this event will carry over for probably a good 6, 7, 8 month period. So you will get additional room stays. And I think there's some factual information for, and I've been involved with city government at both the city of Palmdale and city of Lancaster in marketing and tourism and events. And so I can see that spinoff, and I think it's particularly important to recognize that. I think it's a great marketing tool. Our efforts would be centered on focusing on marketing outside the area. We're requesting, of course, 12,000 in-kind, and that's the focus on the outside, and an additional 3,000 in cash to help us with the event experience. And what I'm going to try to do, and I think everybody's on board, is change a little bit of the dynamics on this event. This is going to be a very creative event with some wow factor in it, and it's going to set it apart from other events on the Central Coast. And I think the entertainment you're going to find out is going to be unique. The increase in attendance is going to be there, and I think we're going to have a very, very strong event, and it will solidly position Morro Bay in the future in terms of tourism and what this event can do for it. I'd be glad to answer any questions. Yeah.
Questions? Is anybody not familiar with the Harbor Festival? Let me just ask that. Okay. I think what we're doing, and because of notification issues, there were a couple people who didn't hear this part, but we had about $65,000 in event funding requests come through.
Yes.
So we're going to break into a subcommittee and have the subcommittee contact you or your board back with questions, maybe meet with you to get through that.
Okay.
So that they can make a recommendation to the full board within the next meeting or two meetings. So that's kind of the direction we're headed in. We are definitely aware of the impact of Harbor Festival to our city, both in terms of occupancy on an otherwise quiet weekend, and also in, I would say, what it brings into in terms of, you know, all the costs associated with that, chair rentals and printing and everything else that it brings in. So it's a great event, you know, revenue-generating event for businesses here in town, I would say. And if the board has any questions, otherwise we will just be contacting you back. Alex?
Yeah, I just have a question on this. I think John mentioned that this has been a great event over years, but it's kind of triggering down. I think we're not getting promoted as much outside the area. And what do you think you're going to be doing as far as that?
Well, I think one of the things that has happened with the event, as I analyze it, and I've got a history of doing events over about 30 years in marketing, you've lost your marketing edge, lost a little bit of your marketing focus. I think we're going to, and we're already taking steps to reestablish that. I
thought there wasn't going to be an impact, and I'm sure there was some impact, but it wasn't that big of an impact. But our really goal is to go back to fishing village, fishing town, seafood. I mean, that's what our focus is going to be more and more this year. And one of the other things that's very important that is we wrote it in our report is that the economic impact for this town, I mean, our budget is about $300,000, and it's 2.5 times that is the economic impact that affects the area. So it's a $750,000 economic impact event for the weekend. So keep that in mind. Thank you.
And one of the things, just to tag on what John said, is the seafood and wine pavilion has become more of a wine pavilion. We intend to bring that food element back in there in a very major, major way.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Other questions? No? Okay.
Okay.
Stay
thank
tuned.
You. Thank
we'll
you very much.
We'll be contacting you to meet with you.
Okay.
We appreciate you coming. Thank you so much. And so, board, are we turning this over to budget? Are we turning this over to budget subcommittee? Is that who we're turning this over to? Okay. So budget subcommittee will do an analysis. Yeah, another economic impact of what of what this is going to mean to us. And there you go. So we'll bring back a report to you within the next meeting or two. Please interject anytime.
A couple of quick comments. I think maybe in the budget, a suggestion to the budget committee, and as they're looking at this thing, is we've kind of had one budget for supporting events, and what I'm hearing is we've got requests for money for events, we've got requests for money, grant money for what I would call an attraction, which brings tourism in town, and then we've also got money going to FAM tours. So they're kind of three different things, all really important kind of things, that maybe we have one budget for donations, and then we start breaking it down a little bit and carving out some for FAM tours and maybe some for attractions and that kind of thing. And then secondly, I look at the 4th of July and the Harbor Festival as the two major local, really non-fundraising events, and I realize Harbor Festival is for charity, but it's not raising money for themselves, sponsored by local citizens. And I kind of put that into a bit of a different category. Sir?
I want to comment, though, on that.
The Oyster Festival is local. It's happening on our golf course.
No, it's local, but it's sponsoring. It's raising funding for a it's being put on by non-really local citizens, primarily. It's being put on by a different organization, raising funds for that organization, as opposed to Harbor Festival. Well, excuse me, 4th of July is not raising money for anybody. It's a local event.
Right. And 4th of July will probably never, ever, ever, you know, that's not going to turn a profit because of the way the event is. It's a free, it's structured free.
And that's why I'm saying free. You take that and put it into a bit of a different
right.
category in our considerations, I think.
Gotcha.
And then the other thing I just want to say was, is it appropriate to bring back the gentleman in public comment? I mean, I hate to let that man leave the room, and we've got a potential FAM tour coming in town. And
I can contact him.
Okay.
He is not bringing a FAM tour. I'm not sure if this is the... It's part of the writers' conference that is sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce and is a, from what I understand, is a group booking through the Inn at Morro Bay.
I didn't know nothing about it. I just want to make sure that they...
But that was the information I was given. I'm not sure if that's all the information, so I don't want to put that out there as that's all the information. I'm sure there's more information than that.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you for those comments. I wrote your comments down, and we'll have the budget subcommittee look at those. Any other comments from board? Okay, terrific. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. We are moving to B, and which is, yeah, it's an oh boy, and we have the slow VCB waiting for us.
Can we move? I would like to make a motion that we move the VCB up, because I know Stacey Jacobs has a lot to do, and she's been sitting here for quite a long time.
How, if I can interject, you also have the city attorney that's waiting for the presentation.
Oh, sorry,
so I will. And
go first.
Are you sure?
Okay.
Okay. So there's a motion.
Got some points for that.
There's a motion on the table. Is there a second? She is doing C and E, and would she be able to combine do C and then do E? Is there, because they're kind of as a. Okay. So there's a motion on the table to move Stacey Jacob up. She has two items. That's C and E. Does your motion include both of those?
Yes, it does.
Is there a second on that motion? There's a second. All in favor of that? Aye. Opposed? None. Stacey, are you in favor of that? Are you ready? Okay. And I think folks have it on their computer as well. This is the VCB. We moved the VCB while you were. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're having oopsie, technical difficulty. All lodging days. That's in addition to that.
Do you mind if I just sit? It's two names I needed up, sorry.
I think we're queued up, so thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So
go ahead,
Stacey. Great. My name is Stacey Jacob. I'm the Executive Director of the San Luis Obispo County Visitors and Conference Bureau. Thank you so much for time on your agenda today. Wanted to really give you an update on Visitors and Conference Bureau, which will equate into our funding request for fiscal year 2012-2013. And then the second item is really to talk about Sunset Savor the Central Coast. So we'll hit the first agenda item first. Wanted to kind of give you a sense of tourism landscape overall in the state of California. I think these numbers are pretty exciting when you look at there's 213 million visitors coming to California overall that equate into $95.1 billion worth of spending. Now, the opportunity here, as you see in SLO County, we need to grow this part of the pie, which is really my pitch for why we work together as a countywide entity, creating a countywide brand. And it really leverages what you are doing here in Morro Bay to create your own community identity. And so that just kind of gives a basis of the framework overall, because I think this share of the pie, we have a lot of opportunity to continue to grow. But we can see that the tourism landscape over the last couple of years has continued to be on the rise. So when we look closer into the Central Coast, we're seeing spending from 2010 to 2011 continue to increase, which of course equates into those state and local taxes and equates into employment numbers. overall. The Central Coast, as defined by Visit California, includes both Morro Bay, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Barbara, just to kind of give you a sense of where those metrics are coming from. As we look closer into our particular county, as we look at the RevPAR stats, overall, we can see that San Luis Obispo County continues to increase, holding its own against our neighboring competitors, as well as competing quite well in terms of the state average overall. So again, good news in terms of growth as we work our way out of the economy, and as we really look at what opportunities we have creating a countywide identity and how all of our individual communities can work within that. Here in San Luis Obispo County, if we look at fiscal year 2010 to 2011, we saw about an 8.77% increase in TOT overall. And we know Pismo Beach, the reason they're up here is they had that big hit, the record season in the month of July. So we know that the summer overall was a huge hit for the region. The Visitors and Conference Bureau has really been focusing our marketing efforts on three key objectives, and we're going to just highlight those and really move into the third objective, which is sustainable funding today. We've been talking a lot about our marketing programs and overall what we are doing to create a countywide identity. You heard Sherry talk a little bit about the report of the countywide branding effort that's currently under place. We really have brought together the marketing minds of the county to go through a process to better understand what is it that people are coming here. And I think it was really remarkable. One of the things that really we hung our hat on is we have really great local assets, but one of the things that we have here that we feel that is pretty unique is the people. So when we talk about the people, the place, and the products, which are your basic marketing mixes, the people is something that we think is just really dynamite. You mentioned it in the campaign you were talking about. People, when they come here, they feel like they were family. So that we're really trying to exuberate that through that countywide brand. And so that was really an interesting exercise that I think we all kind of came together at one place to say, how do we, and the question we asked ourselves is, what is it that you want to be when you're here? And people kind of have an opportunity to do that, which we thought was pretty interesting overall. We'll talk briefly about our relationships and ongoing communication, which we've continued to try to dial in and make sure that you're getting the information that you need. And finally, sustainable funding requests for the future. So we've talked a lot about, you're very familiar with the Saver, exciting news there, and we really saw the impact on our website in terms of traffic. We had over 100% increase of our website traffic happening on the restaurant page, so we saw a lot of hits. We've had anecdotal data from restaurants saying that they had over 500 covers that they could equate directly to Restaurant Month, the month of January. So a great, successful campaign that's now in its fifth year here in San Luis Obispo County. Our ongoing public relations outreach, you were talking about your familiarization tours that you do here in Morro Bay. We do a great series of those throughout the county as well. So we just had representatives from our county down in Los Angeles yesterday with a Visit California media reception for over 100 writers who were here. They were interested in learning about we were there encouraging them to come here and write about San Luis Obispo County. We also flanked that with a series of desk side briefings. So we were excited to have some time with Peter Greenberg yesterday, with AAA Magazine, and some one-on-one time with the Los Angeles Times, who all are very interested in coming to this area. So time well spent down in the LA market. As we look at our marketing toolkit, one of the biggest pieces that we have is our annual visitor guide. So hopefully that you have all seen this. We appreciate your investment into this guide. It is our number one calling card to the area. We have about 40,000 circulation that are printed of this guide. It's also available for download on our website. Something I would encourage you, if of interest, you can definitely link to our site and have that available for your guests coming to your site as well. A great calling card for our area. We've talked a little bit about the branding workshop already. Wanted to highlight some group and leisure sale activities that are going on. The huge international powwow event is coming up in April. We'll be back down in Los Angeles. There'll be over 1,500 tour operators from across the country and nation and world coming to Los Angeles, and we're hosting a big event on the opening night at Universal Studios, where the entire Central Coast has got together to really market ourselves and say, look at what we've got to offer. And yes, we are leveraging food and wine as one of our key assets of this area that we can really look at what we can do as a part of showcasing the Central Coast, and particularly San Luis Obispo County at that event. We also had two other events we were participating in, so we're always looking at what are those group and leisure sales activities, so we can continue not only looking at the leisure traveler, but the midweek business that we know is also important to our county. Film Commission, we're really excited. We just hosted a film scout fam tour that your city was also involved in, so thank you for those of you who helped to make that happen. We had a group of about a dozen film scouts, and we also know that this is an area of business that can be revitalized. And, you know, the economy struck us, and they were sticking very, very close to L.A. and actually going to other states because of incentive programs that have been put in place. And so they're now excited to start looking, and they were many of these folks that we had on this fam tour. Let me tell you, the credentials were amazing. So they take more photos than I've ever seen anyone take. The minute they walk in a room, they are like photo, 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 photo. And so they were so excited about our unique roads, our unique features that we have, the angles that we have. They came over a one vista and they said, wow, that's Ireland right there. So they're always looking at where in the world can they view something, but it happens to be close to their back home. Because for them, if they are staying closer to home, that means they're closer to their families, closer to their own bed at the end of the day. They're not having to truck to another location for 2 or 3 weeks during their shoot time. So I'm excited to start to revitalize that particular business. Just to highlight our relationships and communication, many of you participated in our Tourism Vision Workshop back in December. We were really excited to bring some keynote folks to that workshop, which included John Lambeth, who was very active in the BID law in our state of California, Barb Newton, of course, president of Sunset Magazine, and Carolyn Batetta, president and CEO of Visit California. Some pretty heavy name hitters that we're excited to continue bringing you those access here in San Luis Obispo. We are really working to streamline and make sure that you have consistent communication. One of the things that we heard sat down with your group and said, we need to make sure that you're getting, or you said to us, we're not getting your information. We said, great, let's make sure we're getting it to you. So our activity report now is coming to you at the beginning of the month so that everyone's getting it on your group. Hopefully that's being disseminated now throughout properly as well. And the other big thing, I'm just a really big believer in partnerships. Partnerships that we have within our own county and the various communities, but also partnerships that we can look and leverage through the Central Coast and also the state. And so you've heard us talk a lot about the Central Coast Tourism Council, which is one of the major partnerships to bring the international travel here, very specific focus mission on bringing international travelers to our area, as well as Visit California. It completely amazes me, the $56 million that the state of California puts into tourism marketing, and how can we do a better job of leveraging those assets and leveraging what we do here in San Luis Obispo. So, you know, lots of work still to be done on those fronts, but wanted to let you know that strategy of partnerships is alive and well. So that really leads us to the sustainable funding model, which I believe you have our formal request in front of you. And as you know, the Visitors and Conference Bureau is a public-private partnership between our communities, between the that they have invested in the past. I think there was a one pager that was also circulated in your packet that shows the numbers for the county funding, which is actually based on a 6/10 taxable rents versus the 2/10 taxable rents. And the thinking behind that is that you are all investing in your individual identity marketing. The county really is their own marketing is the Visitors and Conference Bureau. And so the thinking is that's an equitable way because you're putting dollars into us, and maybe there's a way, and that's where that was agreed upon a year ago in terms of the 2/10 versus 6/10 taxable rents side of things. And then finally, following up on another thing that our board wanted to provide is because in this, for some communities, this is really important. For some communities, they want to continue to have their individual memberships be individual with their various members. But if you all decided that all of your hotel partners wanted to get together and pay the total membership of what that hotel rate would be for your individual hotel members, we will offer you a 25% discount for that bulk sum, if you will, which is a new offering that we want to provide to get all of your members involved. So that really concludes the first part of the presentation. I think it might be a good idea to take questions at this point.
I'll open it up to Stacy for questions from the board. If we can go down and try and keep this from going back and forth so that we can keep it to a minimum, let's poll the board for questions. I'll start with Member Amini and see if we can get through his questions so that we're not asking the same question back and forth.
My question on this amount, is this is just the tourist for the whole area or just the, the hotel portion of it? Because it doesn't separate the two, right? This is just for the whole promotion of the whole county, right?
Right. So this is for, this is the basically part of the operating budget for the Visitors and Conference Bureau.
Right.
This is our annual funding request to you. Is that answering your question?
Let me give you a little history, Alex. In the past, before the TBID's inception, there was a CPC, a community promotions budget, and there was also the VCB would come before City Council and have a request for funding of the marketing of Morro Bay through the county VCB. And the City Council would then determine what level they wanted to fund. That number diminished due to budgetary constraints and diminished down to about $10,000 a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know the exact year. And then when the TBID came up, the funding requests were done through the TBIDs throughout the county, and the municipalities stepped away from that funding.
Thank you.
Okay, I just need this clarified. So what you're asking us for is $37,184, correct?
That is correct,
yes. Okay, now, below it says, if a community BID chooses to pay all lodging dues, a 25% discount will be offered. My question is, above the $37,184, mm-hmm. how much is the lodging dues?
So I did not come prepared with what your lodging dues would be. If that is a direction you want to go, we would work with your group. The lodging dues are based on how many rooms that you have. And so we have a total in our budget of about $150,000 that comes total through lodging dues across the county. And so it's a scaling factor based on how many rooms each individual property has.
But my question is, so if we have 918 rooms,
mm-hmm.
so based on that, if you gave us all those figures and we could pass a 25%, if every one of them had to agree to that, right? And they'd every hotel could pay their portion back to the
The way we would ask it, just for simplicity purposes, because this is part of an administration thing that we want to make sure is simplified on both sides.
Right.
It's really something we offer them for you all to have a discussion. Some of the groups across the county believe it's really important that all of their individual properties are represented for a collective countywide effort.
Mm-hmm.
If that is an important direction for you, we can sit down, look at the various rooms. I can give you what the numbers would be, but we would ask that your organization
but
pay
that's
that.
Just separate from the 37,000.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
So that is separate, yes.
Mm-hmm. And it would have to be all of the hotels, not one by one.
Correct, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Otherwise, we just do it on our own, and the goal here is to save a little bit of administrative time.
Have any cities came? Are we your first city?
No, you are not. I've actually presented to all of the cities, and I can give you a report on where everyone is at. Paso Robles has confirmed their funding for this next year.
Full funding?
Full funding, yes. The Pismo Beach, I have presented in front of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. I'm still learning all of this for every community. But Pismo Beach, because of their Convention and Visitors Bureau, there's a level of general dollars that go into that, and then they decide to appropriate it to us. So I would say Pismo is a hybrid formula between their BID and general fund.
Okay. And Pismo looks like it's funding at about, based on last year and what their offering this year, maybe 80% of what the request is at the 0.2.
We are continuing to get 200s. Pismo Beach into that realm. So a little history again, and I'm sure Joan or others may have even more history than I do with that. But for many years, Pismo Beach was not even part of the Visitors and Conference Bureau. And so in the last, I think it's been 3 or 4 years, we've been trying to get them back in and back up to their full funding level. So we believe, and our executive committee believes, that this is yet one more step into getting them back into the realm because they do have the largest commitment overall.
And can you tell me, Stacy, do you know without, because I haven't done the math on this, with what the county funding is actually coming in at as opposed to the 600s that you're requesting, where that actually equates to?
We're actively in those conversations right now, and I have a list of questions waiting on my email from Nikki Schmidt to get back to her so we can continue that process. So I can't tell you where it's going to be right now, but she was interested in this chart that I've just shared with you. So we're in those dialogue.
Okay. Okay. And so going forward, your matrix is basically going to be based on the 0.02% for other than the county?
Yes, that does seem to be an equitable formula for everyone. We think that there's been a lot of value in that. People are seeing that makes sense for them. So yes, that is. And you know, we would love to get into a multi-year funding request overall. But what I can tell you is our board is really dedicated to this funding model that allows you all to everyone to plan accordingly if you continue to believe in the greater countywide effort.
Thank you.
I do believe in the countywide effort. I don't have a full copy of your budget. Do we get a copy of the
VCB budget?
Yeah, the full VCB budget.
Well, I don't have it in front of you right now, but the breakout that you have is the majority of the income that comes in. And so you can see where we were funded last year. The thing that's missing on here would be a little bit of income that comes in through the visitors guide, some income that comes in through, like I mentioned, about $150,000 worth of membership dues that comes in every year.
Yeah, I was more interested on the other side where it's going.
Excellent. So as I mentioned, in these three kind of key buckets, one being marketing and promotions, one being member communications and partnerships, and then the sustainable funding area. So the marketing area that I gave a brief overview, happy to always share more and more with that. I just know that your time is constrained today. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be very helpful to me to help make a decision is, you know, how much money is going where kind of thing. I understand there's the three buckets, but mm-hmm. can we break the buckets down?
The majority of your dollars go into marketing, I can tell you that. So there's probably 75% of the dollars go right directly into marketing between group sales.
I think he's requesting a budget. Would it be possible for you to send an electronic?
We can definitely send that to you.
Great, mm-hmm. thank you. That would help me understand a whole lot more. I'm not the hotelier. There's two of us down here at the end that aren't the hoteliers.
Sure, no problem. And Andrea Luker sits on our board as well and has those information also. So we can we'll get you that information.
Thank you.
Nick? No questions. I did have a question. I was wondering if it would be possible to get a little bit more information, which I should have asked for previously when I received the email, was what the BID assessments are in these cities that have. See, it's difficult because I'm wondering of the municipalities that are take this money from a BID assessment and use it from the assessment. What percent they're assessed at, like 3%, 2%, 1%, and what percent of their budget, of the BID budget, does this number represent? And so, does that make sense to you, what I'm saying? So that's a curious question I have. And then I am also wondering if we paid the $37,000 for our municipality to be represented, would there be possibility to negotiate a 25% discount for the hoteliers to pay individually? We would be fully funding where other municipalities would not be fully funding, and it would be coming totally from our BID assessment. So I would like to show, besides the municipality benefit, I would like to see if there would be some way we could work a benefit to our individual stakeholders that are attributing to this. That's a thought that I have. And then those are my questions. Stacy, you poor thing. That one I've got.
Okay. Yeah, I figured so, but I just want to make sure because this has been a very much a learning process from myself as well. Paso Robles is a 2% BID assessment, and 100% of their funding formula request comes through their BID.
Okay.
Now, the city of Pismo Beach, again, as I mentioned, they have I believe it's a 2% assessment as well. Is it 1%?
Pismo is 1%.
You're right. It is 1% because a greater portion of their dollars, and this is the one that always complicates me. So I want to say it's like a 60-40 split, but I'll have to follow up with those numbers for you. I don't have that right in front of me. But that gives you kind of at least a general understanding.
Gives me an idea.
And then, as we mentioned, Atascadero, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach all come from general fund.
Gotcha.
and many of those have come from the redevelopment funds. But I can also report to you that Tascadero, for example, has told me that tourism marketing is a commitment for them, and they will find the dollars. So even with some of those other state funds going away, they are committed to this process.
Okay. And so I think I'll bring it back to the board for a little discussion to see what we want to do. Hang around. You have another thing on the agenda.
Can I ask you one other thing?
Sure.
Do you happen to know with SLO, Paso, Pismo, I know at Morro Bay's is, what their TOT is?
Yeah, that's all noted here. The TOT rate's 10%.
Okay, so they're all 10. They're all 10.
Okay, so hang
around. Did I answer all your questions?
You did.
Okay, great.
So hang around. Yeah, well, you did answer my questions, except for would it be able to work a 25% discount for
those hotels? So that's what I wanted to ask clarity on. So the 25% discount
would not be a bulk.
I guess what we're trying to it's the way it works for us is if you want to pay all your lodging dues, we can definitely talk about how we could work that out. But okay. The goal is to ensure that all of your properties are members of the Visitors and Conference Bureau as well. So if there's a way we can work that particular piece out, I think what I may be hearing you say is there a way just those members who choose to be? And so this was really a bulk sum based on everyone being a part of it.
Right. And the reason I'm asking that is because Morro Bay is going through some significant changes mm-hmm. right now with the way we handle our marketing and for lodging and for the entire city. And with those significant changes, our budget may not be as flexible as we have been in the past. Mm-hmm. And so $37,000 represents a healthy number mm-hmm. to our budget. And we may incur some costs this next year. And I know that in the past, some flexibility and leeway has been given to other cities when they've had either changes or they've had significant issues to their collections, or they've been given leeway to get them up to speed. And so as we go through these changes, what I'm trying to look to do is find maybe a unique solution for mm-hmm. Morro Bay that would offer us the greater benefit in partnership with you, but would also offer our hoteliers, who some of them are struggling and some of them are doing okay, it would offer them probably a greater benefit to be able to right now, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't see us being in the position to pay it in a bulk sum.
Okay.
But I would really like to see the ability as we go through these structural changes to be able to offer even a greater benefit to our hoteliers, at least for the year, while some mm-hmm. of our money might be pulled out of our marketing budget.
Sure. Well, I always appreciate solutions to those things, and what I will be happy to do is take that recommendation from your board back to my executive committee and get authority to be able to come back with an answer on that for you.
Okay. So I would be very interested in finding out for our 918 or 19 rooms what it would cost bulk for everything.
So what I'm hearing is really two things. Maybe what we can do is if I can work with Madam Chairman Solu on understanding the rooms, we'll take a look at that. So we'll have a proposal on what the rooms would be. At the same time, I'll get a recommendation from our exec committee if they're willing to offer the solution that you offered up.
Right, and I can send you an email once we understand what our structural changes and budget constraints are going to be. We're not in the position to really even understand what's going to be happening with our budget yet this next year.
Perfect.
So the commitments we're making here today, are somewhat vague even for us, I would say. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so let's kick it back to the board here. Board discussion. Nick, do you have any comments for the board here and how you're feeling? Can you tell us how you're feeling?
I kind of agree with you. We're kind of in a flux right now. We're not really sure how it's all going to play out. I know we did fully fund it last year, I believe. Mm-hmm. But again, with the things.
Yeah, I certainly can't argue with that comment. And then secondly, I guess I'm always trying to figure out, I think we have learned, or I've learned in the last year or so since I've been around, that we found efficiencies and ways to save a few bucks here and kind of get more, as much bang for a buck as we possibly can. And So in addition to following, agreeing with Nick, mm-hmm. I'd, you know, looking at the budgets, and what are other ways that we can work together to produce the best results we can for all of our collective stakeholders?
Right. And but I think
again, I'm a big supporter of working with at the county level, so I'm not a problem here.
No, I'll just comment on that, and it's really been great having Sherry in place because she has been so active in a lot of our various programs. So whether it be group sales or some of our other aspects, you guys have a voice and you are actively participating in our various entities. So,
Obviously, we need to maintain a partnership with the county and the county's efforts mm-hmm. in branding the destination. I'm a little concerned with the annual, it seems at this point, increases. We've gone from general funding of maybe 10 to 15,000 into the 20,000 range, into the 30,000 range, and now it's another little bump up. I'd like to kind of crunch the numbers a little more. Mm-hmm. I know last year when we granted full funding, it was with the codicil that you were getting, I was under the impression, full funding from all the other entities, which I'm seeing now didn't happen. It could have just been with the codicil that you are getting funding from all entities. But when I see funding as low as 70%, 78% of request and 89% of request, then I'm kind of wondering maybe we really need to see. I don't think there's anybody that feels that Morro Bay shouldn't be paying its fair share. Mm-hmm. But I want to be sure that we are paying our fair mm-hmm. share. So I'm gonna look at the numbers a little bit more, I think, before I make a decision on what the funding would be.
And I can appreciate that. And just so you know, I go around and hear very similar conversations in every community. And, I mean, I think it's pretty clear you have the numbers in front of you. And I would also encourage your board to voice your opinion to those other communities. If you believe in the greater effort, you have a voice in this process as well to let them know how you feel about those kinds of things also.
Alex?
Well, I really have a concern with this 10%, which means that every time we make more money, you want to spend more money. So I don't get that sort of understanding. I think there should be a budget. There should be accountability of how we're going to spend that money mm-hmm. year to year rather than just throw money at, you guys in part of the county, you got to pay 10%. Just doesn't make sense to me. Because we're going to have time, the budget is lower like a few years ago, and you still need to do your things, and we still want to be supporting you, of course, and it helps mm-hmm. as a group. But I'm not really comfortable with the way the numbers are get calculated. There's some cities like us that's not as good as maybe Pismo, or as far as the dollar coming from the hotel business side of it, mm-hmm. versus even Paso. So to have all the same, being treated the same way, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, just to be fair, you're actually treated on what your TOT dollars are, which is converted into a taxable rent, so it's based on your individual community success.
Well, it's a simple way of looking mm-hmm. at it, and what your promotion doing and how much of it comes to Morro Bay
right.
versus goes to Paso or Prismo. There's no number for it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So what I'm hearing is kind of came back to a conversation that we had with your marketing group about 6 weeks ago when we sat down, is making sure we're disseminating the information. We have monthly reports that go, and what we learned is that it wasn't getting to your level. So there's a couple things we can do. Make sure that that's getting to you. That shows you where the dollars are going, what the results have been, what the website hits are, what the numbers are all along. And happy to, again, share our full marketing plan with you if that's something that your group has not received. So we'll make sure that you get that as well.
That would be nice. Also, your budget and
the budget,
how you're
yes.
spending, the money. It's yep. really important.
Yes, I have the budget noted as a follow-up.
Jane?
Thank you for everything that you do, by the way. It's great. And, again, we have to defer to the budget committee. We have to look at your budget, our budget. My interest is for the stakeholders, and with what you do, the most important thing is that our stakeholders are individual members. Mm-hmm. And I personally, we have already budgeted in this budget $36,000, right?
Well, that was last year's,
but it hasn't been spent. But if it is this, well, it does, okay, whatever. If we go back.
It only allows for so much. I agree with what Karen says. I was a little disappointed. I know Pismo gets the discount, but I know part of it was to get him on board. So I get it, but it's also like they're making more money, they should be paying into the pot. I disagree a little bit with Alex on the point that if we make more money, I'm fine to give you more money. I feel that we should share, you know, I feel the VCB does a very good job at branding the county and getting people into the county, which I feel benefits everybody that's within the county. And I've said this before, if, you know, we need wine, we need each other's all elements to keep the county going. I think we all need each other. If Paso, when they have their fair over in Paso, we see that here. We get a little overflow. It may not fill everybody, but we get some impact on it. So I think the county is really important. I think we need to move forward with a partnership in some way. I am hesitant. Stacey doesn't know all the ins and outs. We just today were heard all the motions that the city council's put down on ours. So at this point, I wouldn't really want us, I think we need to get a little bit more information before we can move too much forward. I think there's definitely a partnership there. I agree with what Jane's saying. We need to put some benefit back to the stakeholders. We've got a lot of stakeholders that are really frustrated about what we're doing. They feel we're doing a lot more for the city than they're doing for the actual hotels. And so I do think, though, the VCB, to get our hotels onto their website and get that benefit, I think would really, really help our stakeholders. I just don't know at what price that comes at. So I think we need to look at that for sure and figure that out. And I think we need to somehow continue the partnership. It's just making sure that it is a complete fair share. I would love to voice to Pismo if they're listening. I don't think it's fair that they get away with a discount when they are making the most money. Again, if we're making money, let's share the wealth. And they have always wanted to be the leader. We'll let them be the leader, and they should pay for that leadership. So that's right.
So as chair, what I'm hearing from the board, and I think Stacy's taking really great notes up there, just so you know, board, if we paid full funding and hotel membership, and we don't know what hotel membership would be, hotel membership is our X number. So in algebraic terms, it would be $27,750 with the 25% discount plus X equals amount Y. So the 25% discount of the $37,000 brings it down to $27,750, but it would be plus X.
But you don't get the 25% discount is not on the $37,000.
Correct.
No. Yeah. It's on the lodging.
Correct. Yeah. They don't take. Yeah. So this is A plus B equals C. Algebraic.
I like X.
No, it's A plus B equals C, and you know what A is, which is the $37,184. B, we will work that out. So I will be. That's a follow up item. I'm hearing loud and clear from you all, and then we will figure out what C is based on your interest of having full funding for all of your, having 100% of your members, your 918 rooms, and what that 25% would be on those 918 rooms for that. And the other two follow-up items I have noted is to get you a copy of our marketing plan, as well as a copy of the budget, the current active budget in fiscal year 2011-2012.
Do you know how many hotel rooms Pismo has?
I'm sorry, I'm not very good about knowing those numbers off the top of my head.
I'm sorry. Slow? No, I don't know.
What is shown below there is the city of San Luis Obispo,
right,
the $29,000 that you'll show that they paid last year.
Right.
So the city of Paso Robles and Wine Coast Country chose to pay their hotel dues, or lodging partners, I should say, in bulk in the past year. So you can see, and I don't know how many rooms they have, to be honest with you.
So what I'm hearing from the board is that we're going to probably invite you back at our next meeting with some answers to those questions so we can make a good, solid decision. Also, it would probably be great for you to sit and meet with the budget committee, and we can provide electronically a full budget to the entire board so
great.
They can see that. Then the budget subcommittee can make the recommendation off the information that you bring back.
Great. Can I ask who's on the budget? So have you defined who your budget committee? Oh, okay, perfect. Great. So
Member Biagini, Member Hawkes,
thank you.
And myself. Okay, great.
And happy to get that information to you, and we can have that conversation before your next meeting.
Okay, so let's do that so that it will become an unfinished business for us, everyone.
Chair Solo, I have something that I'd like to interject on, because yes. I think there's something you touched on that Stacy may not be able to provide, but I would love to see what the other budgets are of the other BIDs.
You mean total?
They're just total assessment collections of what their budget is. Yeah, where could we get that info?
Well, we can figure that out from their gross
taxable rents. Because we know what their BIDs are.
We know what their assessment is. So we can get that. Okay, so now we move into, now I have to put my glasses on, sorry. Don't go very far. We're back at you, Stacy, with the SAVER request, and I have a feeling this is going to be a very similar.
The impact for this past year was $2.93 million. This was also about a 22% increase from year one to year two, and we're going to get into why that increase occurred. We had great customer reviews, high expectation that people will return, which is also a great signal of where we're headed there. Just to break out the attendance a little bit, we had about half of the attendees coming from outside the county. So you saw that 20% increase and 22% increase in economic impact from year one to year two. If we look at the geographic analysis, year one, about 70% of our audience came from San Luis Obispo County. Year two, about 50% of the audience came from San Luis Obispo County. What does that mean? This event is doing what it's supposed to do, which is start to move that audience, bring in a new audience, and help fill more heads and beds, as well as market what this region's all about. That was the primary goal of Sunset Savor the Central Coast. What I kind of like to point out is we had 22 states represented, which was kind of fun. Small overall number of the population that attended, but it's really nice to see that all the Western United States and key markets that are primarily wine-consuming markets were represented at this particular event. We also had 24% of the audience from the L.A. area, and I think that's important, as I'm sure you do your analysis of where your customer is coming from. We know the Valley is a big hit, but we also know Southern California is another big hit. So a lot of our marketing efforts this year, thus the media event that I said we were just at, is really focused in Southern California. The third kind of trend that I think is really interesting as part of this event, you know, SAVOR has kind of an a la carte menu. You buy a ticket to the main event, and you have access to other kinds of tickets that you can then purchase. We know that about a third of our guests attending are buying more than one ticket. So we think, again, that's a good model, and it's working for what the core purpose is. That economic impact, $2.93 million, the value of that, bringing local bodies in, increasing that hotel tax overall, looking at the estimated sales tax spending. We believe this event is on the path of being that premier event that we will hopefully continue to see this economic analysis continue to increase. This is pretty interesting. If you look at the target demographic, the age of the SAVOR attendee is between 45 and 64 is the primary age group. But I think this is an age group that's pretty exciting, this 25 to 44-year-old, or as some like to clone it, the millennial generation. You were talking about your Twitter and Facebook feeds and such. This is the generation that's using that new media overall. So it'll be fun to watch and track the increase of this particular demographic as we move forward. I think the other important factor is if you look at the average household income of the SAVOR attendee. Over 60% of them have an average household income of $100,000 or more. So we believe this is an event that is attracting the type of tourist that you want coming to your county. So as we move into SAVOR 2012, I want to give you some highlights of what event programs that we have in place and also propose some opportunities for Morro Bay as we get ready for your sponsorship requests this year. We will again kick off the SAVOR event at Hearst Castle. Wine Coast Country will be the sponsor of that event. We are going to increase the number of paid tickets to 600. That was really a partnership with Hoyt Fields at the Hearst Castle, doing this really special, amazing event up at the castle. Infinity Car will again be activating, giving people a special ride up to the castle that night. So a great way to kick off in a really special place in our county. On Friday, we'll have a series of culinary tours happening throughout the county. These, you've hosted one in the past, being the oyster tour that you've also done paddleboarding in the past. We've spoken with your subcommittee and understood what works well for you, what doesn't work well. We're looking at limiting these to about 6 to 7 tours this year, just because we felt like in some years we got almost too much supply. We want to really create demand by a reduced supply amount for these particular tours. These tours work on a sponsorship model that is $2,500 per tour. That helps to offset the cost of lunch, because each of these are designed to be those hands-on experiences that include some kind of lunch component. They also are geared by a $500 wine sponsor for each of these particular culinary tours, or adventure tours, I should say. So one of the things that I heard from your subcommittee was that, you know, in Morro Bay, we want to have an icon event. We know that Pismo Beach has the International Wine Awards, Paso Robles has Paso Glow, San Luis Obispo is going to move into a jazz festival this year is the proposal on the docket for them. So I went to Sunset Magazine. I said, okay, can we do one more evening event? Is that possible? And they said, oh, gosh, that seems really, really tough. I said, well, what about a Friday midday event? Something unique that happens among the adventure tours that could be really taking what you've done in the past and really leveraging it to the next level. And they said that would work. That would be quite interesting. So one concept that we have that has been vetted through your subcommittee is Morro Bay Epic Oysters at the Rock. So really focus on your great asset of oysters, the Morro Bay Rock, bringing in an event that could feature and really expand on that culinary tour that you've done before. We also think there's an opportunity to leverage the Battle of the Bay chefs. So you've been, you've had the two different winners of your Battle of the Bay. Maybe the year to continue on, and we can come back to this as well. Okay, let's continue on. So just again to show the lineup, the International Wine Awards grand event will be hosted at Pismo Beach at the Dinosaur Caves Park this year. They are also blending from year one to year two concepts. Year one was a sit-down dinner at the ranch. Year two was a cocktail party reception-style event at the Pismo Pier. So year three, they want to do a hybrid where they're going to have a reception that will then go into a seated dinner. And so to do that, we knew we needed more space, which is why we're moving it to Dinosaur Caves Park to be able to increase that footprint overall. And the other key difference here is Sunset has moved their Western Wine Awards competition to become an International Wine Awards competition. So this is an opportunity. They just recently sent the calling out this week, actually, and it's an open entry process. And they have a really, really fantastic list of judges put in place for this. So it'll be a sit-down dinner, as I mentioned, and we'll have a two-tiered ticket pricing for both. So somebody who just wants to come and taste the wines and come to the reception can do that, and or you can come to the reception and the dinner that night. Main event, again, a lot of repeats from what you've heard in the past. We're going to keep our ticket pricing intact with what has been in year one and year two. So main event ticket prices will be $85 for day one or $150 if you want to buy a weekend pass. We will have that locals discount, which will be available through August 31st. We will not be doing any Groupons or Bloom Spots. We know that that was a challenge that a lot of you all heard for your guests that were coming and staying at your place. Definitely controlling and not doing this next year. Our seminars, Chef Central and Winemaker seminars, will be $20. You see Lamb Jam up here. We are partnering with the American Lamb Board. The American Lamb Board does a series called Lamb Jam. They go to four different markets throughout the United States. It's Washington, D.C., Boston, Seattle, and San Francisco. They're going to be bringing their winning chefs of each of those chef competitions to Savor the Central Coast as their West Coast Grand Finale kickoff. Last year, they did their Grand Finale, I shouldn't say kickoff, it's the grand finale, not the kickoff. The grand finale last year happened to be in New York City. So I was talking to the American Lamb Board, and I said, what about a West Coast opportunity to bring the finals? And they love the idea. So they're coming back this year and bringing four guest chefs with them, which will be really awesome to have. One of the things we want to do is those hotels who partner with us as part of Savor the Central Coast, we want to give you marketing tools. We started this effort last year, and we want to continue it this year. If you sign up as a participating hotel for Savor, we are going to give you a 20% discount on those tickets that you can then package and sell to your guests. And specifically on Sunday, because we know that you need more tools to be able to encourage that overnight Sunday stay, to extend that stay one more day, we're going to give you a special $50 rate on Sunday that you can then package and use for those overnight stays. So we think we really focused on the partnership with the various BID groups last year, and we want to now continue to focus on our individual property partnerships. So when you talk about member value add, those are some value added pieces that we want to also provide. We talked about Lamb Jam, some other new event features. We have Oro Wheat is coming in this year with the national sponsor through Sunset. We're going to create a new area called the Sunset Cafe. We also have, there's some changes at the ranch happening, some improvements. They're going to be building in some more natural shade. So there's going to be a new olive orchard where the Central Coast Pavilion has traditionally been. So we're going to flip-flop the Central Coast Pavilion location and the marketplace location. So we're going to integrate the wineries and tasting with the natural shade aspect, and then the Central Coast Pavilion will be located next to where the winemaker seminars will be. A couple other new features. We will have a new retail area called Sunset at Home. One of the things we heard is people want to shop when they come to Savor. So we're going to look at those unique opportunities where they can buy those unique products that are only made here. We are seeking a new guest wine region this year. Washington State will not be joining us back. And then as we look at Chef Central, we're not exactly announcing it. We're still pending confirmation. But we have two guest chefs in mind. For Saturday, it will be Artie Sequeira. We are in final negotiations with her. She'll be returning. Last year, she came for the Sunday feature. And on Sunday, we have Ted Allen. So if you've seen the show Chopped or Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, he is the food and wine expert on that. So those are some chefs that we are looking at bringing to Savor this year. We mentioned Paso Glow. The big news here is they're moving their event from the downtown city park to Windfall Farms with an opportunity for them to grow the number of people coming to that event. And then San Luis Obispo, we're looking at a wine, a music and wine kind of street party concept to really leverage jazz, wine, food trucks, kind of a street affair at the Mission Plaza that is still being determined and worked out with them. So that's kind of an overview. I know I'm taking a lot of your time. And the other thing I wanted to show you, you have your official membership request in front of you, which breaks out the new Epic Oyster at the Rock event, as well as your main event Savor sponsorship. And one of those things of that main event Savor sponsorship included was the Morro Bay Hero Shot, which I know was a really important feature for you last year. I'm going to just flip my presentation over to the proposed website that we have, so you can see kind of the marketing.
Probably.
Just to show you some other.
Are you laughing at me?
No.
Believe me, today I'm laughing with everyone.
Okay. I just wanted to show you the second half of the home page. We've really widened it to create a lot more dynamic information on the home page to really be able to showcase. One of the big things is the schedule overview. Again, this is not in final form, but it gives you a sense where people can really access and see the schedule without having to drill so far into the website. I think that was one of the biggest challenges with the website as we had it in the past. This other area here is going to be kind of a special featured promo space that we can use for. So there's more activity going on in terms of whether, and we have Infinity in here, but this could be a local partner for this. And so I think in the proposal I said dedicated homepage visibility for a determined amount of time. Maybe this is featuring the new Epic Oyster event for, you know, the month of May or whatever, however we choose to do that. But there is a rotating opportunity here as well as the hero shot image up there.
Right, because in the past we have developed videos both for the Oyster Tour and for Battle of the Bay, but they were you had to drill into the website to try and find those.
Exactly.
Yeah, it would be.
And this is designed to where these could become videos. So the thinking around this kind of rotating image is multifold. So this we were looking at as kind of a main, you know, that's the first thing you're going to see when people come to the website. However, you could have a video that could be showcased. You could also turn this in if we needed to all of a sudden push the Epic Oyster event, for example. This could almost become our own kind of banner ad. Not make it look like an ad, but it could be featuring a special event. So I think it gives us a lot of flexibility. So when you ask me how many I'm going to have, at any one time, we don't want to clutter it because people don't get through it. But I think it's going to be very dynamic and give us more marketing tools at the end of the day that we can now feature our individual auxiliary events and, of course, the main event. The biggest thing here was to focus, you know, on the dates, make it very clear where to buy tickets, and give people a little bit more information right on the homepage.
Because one of our opportunities is that hero shot, when I hear that you're going to be rotating things in, that does not mean that our portion, our hero shot, would be rotated out ever.
No, it would not. No, if you choose that, you would always be one of the number that we, you know, and again, it doesn't do us any good to dilute it, so we would control that number, and you would always be in there. But it may rotate with, like I said, a featured ad.
Gotcha.
And I say ad, but don't think ad. Think feature. For locals only pass, you know, expiring in 5 days, that
right.
kind of thing.
Okay.
How are you using the hero shots in your print ads, posters, that type of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question, Karen. And we're not there yet, but this is kind of, as you know, in the past, the website's kind of geared the rest of the marketing materials. And I can tell you that I've heard your concerns in the past, and we will continue to make sure that we have that integrated. And as I have more examples, I'm happy to share them with your subcommittee. I just wanted to show you this today so you got a sense of, you know, I heard your direction. We want to kind of change and make sure that you're seeing how we are really implementing these pieces.
So at this point, I think I'm going to bring it back to the board.
Absolutely.
For discussion and whatnot amongst ourselves. But stick around.
Okay.
Questions will be forthcoming. So, Nick?
You know, last year, we were trying to put together a concert or something down at Tidelands Park, mm-hmm. and it didn't go through. But what was the sponsorship for that? Do you recall? I mean,
for the concert?
Right. Wasn't that a separate event that was similar? Not
it,
similar.
It was a separate event, and it was $90,000.
Oh, okay. All right. That's all I have.
I'm getting tired. And I'm hungry, too.
I'm
yeah.
I'm sorry. I should have brought chocolate snacks.
No, I think I'm going to start.
Savor treats.
Again, my education is experience is going up here, getting more intense. What would if you took the total Savor, you know, the main event and all the side events and all that kind of stuff, what's the total revenue for all ticket sales to all events? What's the sponsorship of all the T-bids and cities and everybody that's sponsoring? And then what's the cost of putting the whole thing on? What's the net bottom line? And where I'm coming from is I'd like to compare things to things. And I get a sense that there's kind of a big negative at the bottom of this thing. And is that typical for this kind of an event? I really don't know.
Yeah, so there was a budget that was circulated to Andrea at the beginning of January that showed what the financials were of Savor this past year. Savor is an overall about $1 million.
It's the cost-benefit analysis ultimately.
Absolutely.
That you get down to. And I'm not, you know, spend $1 million and we get $3 million spent in the county. And I'm not sure that's a good ratio. But I don't know what a good ratio is. You know, what does a Super Bowl bring somebody, or what does the Rose Parade bring to Pasadena? You know, how do all those other kinds of things work out? Is this a good deal, or isn't this a good deal? And again, I've been a subscriber to Sunset since I was in college, so I'm a big supporter of Sunset Magazine and the whole thing that's going on here and the image of it. But I think I need to work the numbers through a little bit more myself.
Sure. So I can just remind you that $2.93 million economic impact is another part of that kind of cost ratio benefit analysis that you won't necessarily get by just looking at the budget itself.
I understand fully. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah.
Stacy, for the Epic Oysters, we're looking at a $39,000 cost that Sunset BCB puts out for the setup, basically an operation of this
project.
It's offset, you're hoping, by ticket sales and the $25,000 sponsorship.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure I was clear on what our commitment would be for that. Some of the events that you have, since we kind of have an extended, I guess it's not Western Wine Awards anymore, it's International Wine Awards, but would be on Friday also. Is that extended, since you have the evening dinner, into the late afternoon for the tasting prior to dinner, or?
No, we will. That event, I believe, we have slated to start at 6 o'clock with the opportunity, and this was very heavily discussed with the managers at Sunset as well. If we're going to add a new event and we don't want to have another competing opportunity, which is why we were looking at kind of that 11 to 2 o'clock timing around the lunchtime for you all here.
Okay, and so the Slow Jazz or Music and Wine Fest is an evening? And
that is an evening. So there are two, so Saturday, that is two Saturday night events.
Yeah.
So Saturday night you have a Paso Robles event and you have a San Luis Obispo event.
They're just Paso's changing its location, and SLO is changing its venue, basically.
SLO is, the venue is the same, it's the concept is changing. Actually, both of the events are changing. Traditionally, the events were sit-down, seated dinners.
Right.
And Paso Robles is going to more of a kind of gourmet-style barbecue event, which will be a walk-around tasting stations.
Mm-hmm.
And San Luis Obispo, if they move into the jazz concert concept, will go into like more of the food truck element. So their food element will become much more casual. And we think all of that really diversifies all of the unique events that we have. So really there's only going to be one seated sit-down dinner, which will then become the International Wine Awards.
Right.
So I think in some ways we're getting smarter about the style of events. So not everybody needs to have a dinner.
So what you're seeing then for Epic Waster is another kind of casual food event that could maybe tie in the past Battle of the Bays,
mm-hmm.
Past chefs in some kind of cook-off or People's Choice cook-off or something like that, plus the beer and bubblies or champagne kind of, okay.
Exactly. And so the champagne, because of the international...
In my mind of...
And because of the International Wine Awards, you know, there could be potentially international wine, sparkling wines, for example. So that there's some other activations that we just don't know yet. But I would also say you have a great marketing buzz already happening with your kind of Battle of the Bay, that it would be another way that we could work with your marketing partners on how do we make this really that focal feature point for you all.
Right. Okay, so I just want to say to the board that I think our 27.5 has been a good commitment in the past, and I have no problem with that. I'm going to have to give a lot more thought to another $25,000 commitment. One of the other questions I had, I know when Sunset first proposed this event in partnership with the VCB, it was with a three-year commitment. This would, of course, be the third year. Have they talked about extending this commitment at this point? Or
we have. So, Sunset is bound by Time, Inc., and so we have an annual contract that we have with them. However, we took that request, that the same concern concerns the Board of Directors for the Visitors and Conference Bureau, and we went to Barb Newton, the president of Sunset Magazine, and we said, what can you do to help give us a little bit more teeth that you guys are in this for the long run? And a couple of indicators I can tell you. First of all, they had these sponsors that we're talking about here that I'm able to announce already pretty much in the hopper and almost confirmed last year at the event. So they are actively selling this event a year in advance. So to me, that says a commitment right there. Secondly, they brought their entire sales team here last year from all across the country and had their annual sales meeting that happened the day after Savor. So they used our event for their own business purposes. So they're definitely seeing the value in that. And two other indicators. Barb Newton is now serving on an advisory board at Cal Poly because she really, truly believes in this area. So she is now investing some of her time to come here and invest in our community as well, which I think is another great indicator. And lastly, she did provide us a letter of intent that basically said that Savor the Central Coast, they view very similarly to their celebration.
5,000. It seems to be when something's popular, we keep getting dinged for the prices going up.
I can tell you the key difference there is we have positioned that to be in association with Ted Allen, one of our celebrity chefs. So that is the difference.
Yeah. I think
if you don't want that, we can remove that concept and go back to the 2,500. But that was to give you a celebrity chef component.
I think the Battle of the Bay is the one thing I've always said is something we should do no matter what, and the hero shot, and, of course, being at the pavilion. So for me, and I think being the Oyster sponsor is great. So I really love this package and think it's what we do. My question to you would be is if we dropped the Friday new event and went down to just the 27.5, does that I would assume that takes us out of platinum sponsorship? And what does that change for those other things that we would get down below, if it would change anything?
Yeah, it would put you into the gold sponsorship, but what it would we do is just reduce some of your number of tickets, but happy to work with you on that. One of the things that also just to consider, I did not propose a Oyster Adventure Tour in your 27,000, thinking we would replace that with the Epic Oyster event. So just something to consider, that would be an additional $2,500 partnership if you wanted to add that into the bottom line area.
And another thing I would want to possibly request is and I know you guys are trying to get away from giving out too many tickets. I mean, the main event, 20, I mean, whatever, I think that could be worked around. I would really love to see it where we got two tickets per event, because I know in the past we've always tried to make sure that we have some kind of Morro Bay representation at each event. And I see here it says 6 guest passes to a VIP event of your choosing, but I see the or in there, and that's what just alarms me with the or, because it says kickoff party, International Wine Awards, Paso Glow, Epic Oyster, or Mission Plaza dinner. So I would just want to make sure that we had 1, 2, 3, 4. If there was 4 events, we had 2 tickets to each of that, which would equal 8 tickets, not 6.
Okay.
If there's 4 events, one of those would possibly be our event. So
there's 5 events.
There's 5, not
five,
yeah.
If you include Epic Oyster.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
So that would be my other thing. But that's where I'm at as a board.
Jane.
Well, I'm looking at all the funding to you with the $36,000, et cetera, with that like $89,000 something. So I'm not in favor of the Morro Bay Epic Oyster at the Rock at all. And I am very much in favor of the main event. I think that I'm disappointed that the Battle of the Bay seminar hosted by Ted Allen went up $2,500, and is that just for our event, Battle of the Bay, that he's doing, or is he doing that for all of the battles of the chefs?
No, he's also going to be hosting the Lamb Jam event, but their commitment is much higher for their sponsorship activation. So this was, again, if that is concerning.
So he's getting $5,000 just to do the Battle of the Bay.
No, we're paying him much, much, much more.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, we're paying him a much bigger fee than
right.
that. So don't look at that. He's only coming for $5,000.
But I do think that the hero image is very important, that our booth in Central Coast, so I agree with Karen, the sponsorship of, we did $25,000 last year, it's increasing about 10%, a little bit more this year for the $27,500 is where I would be lending my approval, but not to the other $25,000.
I have one question to you real quick, just mm-hmm. to interject. Battle of the Bay, if we've got this host with Ted Allen and we're spending the $5,000, which I'm okay doing all of that, last year in the past we've been really restricted on time. Would we be given a little bit more time, or would our time still be the same? Because in the past, our chefs have had a really, mm-hmm. you know, they've been cooking in 20 minutes. I think it would be nice if we could expand that to maybe get an additional 30 minutes to an hour. And that's just kind of a question to you. I want to throw, and I didn't want to forget to mention that.
Okay, I'll have to look into that. I'm sure there's an opportunity to work the schedule accordingly, because there's lots of changes happening with the seminars. There's no more breakfast in the morning, so there's some potential time to work with. So if that is where your board decides to go, we'll work that
out. Listed on the schedule, I'm sorry, excuse me, mm-hmm. listed on the schedule, we were listed at 45 minutes for that seminar, but by the time they open the doors with 45 minutes, mm-hmm. everybody gets in, mm-hmm. they get seated, mm-hmm. so that takes 5 minutes, and then there's the introductions of it was Katie Tammany and everyone else, the chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And it did limit them to about 20 minutes, maybe, of cooking time. And if they cut themselves, that was down to 5.
Oh, my goodness. No, we can't have that. Call for
because they were nervous.
Okay, so I'm hearing we need about 30 minutes additional to that.
That would be nice. Alex?
Well, I have no comment on this. I just don't know where...
With the VCB to come back again, that it's something that we can revisit, but it probably isn't the best timing this year.
So, I agree with... if we're looking at the $25,000 or $27,500 sponsorship, I'm going back to... what we sponsored last year, and I do see that there were a couple of increases for those things, and that we are going up. If we don't do the Epic Oyster event, the question is, do we want to bring a daytime tour to Morro Bay to possibly expose Morro Bay to some of the crowd? And I would say the answer to that would be yes, because on those tours, like the Oyster Tour, they put media, and as we know, last year the editor from Time Inc. Was on one of the tours with Michelle, with several other media people, and there were media people both years on the Sunset Oyster tour, and I believe that that helped result in Tog Nazzini's being written up as authentic seaside dining and exposing Morro Bay even further. So I would think that those events would be important to us if we didn't do an epic. But I would go back to having an event, hosting a greater event is really important to Morro Bay. Mm-hmm. But from a lodging standpoint, I agree. There are several, from a TBID standpoint, there are several things going against you this year. Everything that Member Biagini stated. And also, I think the timing of it, if we could have an evening event, it's tough to sell the idea of overnight stays to folks who can drive out of town at 2 in the afternoon when their event ends. But the event itself, the idea of it and the concept of it is phenomenal.
Great.
And I would ask that it not be abandoned, mm-hmm. but that we have the opportunity to work on it over this next year with BCA and with the VCB, and to really focus in on how we could bring an event here using that as a format, maybe, and using our updated tourism resources that we have once they're all pulled together to focus in on that idea. So back to what I'm hearing is a consensus from the board that we look at solely the greater the funding level similar to what we had last year. And from me, I would like to see us add the tour or a tour or the tours back in, an oyster tour of some sort to be developed between mm-hmm. us somehow.
Great, that's no problem. So I've got that noted to add the oyster tour in here, which would be a $2,500 commitment based on the model that we presented. I guess I wanted to ask clarification if Ted Allen, if that component was important, so we can come up with what your final number is.
I think the Ted Allen is very important.
I think it's very important, too. I think that actually is going to sell that out even better. We've been very grateful to our chairperson in terms of her hosting with Sunset in our prior battles, but I think, you know, that puts a big commitment on her time and energy, and I think, you know, for $2,500 I would prefer to see the celebrity chef hosting.
Thank you, so would I. And also I know that they have a certain amount of seats that they were seating there because they were turning it from breakfast, but now that they're not having the breakfast seminar, perhaps we could add additional seating to it because it was always sold out, and it would be nice to, especially if we're having Ted come along and help us with the hosting duties. So I like the package. Is there any other comments that anyone would like to add?
So then you would be suggesting we bring the oyster tour on Friday back in, which would add $2,500 to bring the sponsorship value then to $30,000. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, yes. There was a question that I had, which was why did the booth space, which is relatively the same space, jump?
In our conversation, you had asked for a larger booth space, so I increased that to a 10 by 20 booth space. That was one of the, I thought, from
we
our lunch.
We had 10 by 20 last year.
According to the written agreement that I had, it was a 10 by 10, so I'd have to look back on that. But
I'm sorry, excuse me, I don't mean to cut you off. We did have a 10 by 20, and how we had a 10 by 20 was that we talked about it, and it may have been omitted from the actual contract, but we did have 10 by 20.
Anyway, I was going off the contract that you signed last year. So
understood your tour, but that we have a culinary tour here in Morro Bay on the Friday.
What time is that?
It's a daytime tour.
Like from 11 to 2?
From like 11 to 2. And it's
okay.
Usually only about somewhere between 20 and 30 people, up to 50 max.
Okay. How many did we have last year?
Two.
We had two people.
No, we had two.
Oh,
tours.
I was How many people? Yeah.
The oyster tour on the Lost Isle Adventure sold out, and that had about 20 on it.
Mm-hmm.
Off the top of my head, I mean, mm-hmm. I'd have to go back and look. And
mm-hmm.
We had the stand-up paddling, and I think there was 12 or 15 people. Several of those were media out of that 12 to 15. But we did, like she said, have Peter from Time Inc. out there, who had never paddled before. That was quite fun. I would say being on that tour, it was not a big moneymaker. I don't know if that's something I would encourage again, because I don't think it really... we were having a struggle getting the 10 to 12, and I think I don't even think out of those 12 to 15... A lot of them were media. They weren't even paid.
Board members, it seems like you're having a lot of details here. May I suggest, unless you think you're close to a motion, that you take this to a subcommittee and meet with Ms. Jacob and then bring it back? I think you've probably got enough time, and it seems like there are a number of questions with your board members, unless I'm misinterpreting and you're close.
Is she coming back next time?
She can come back next time.
Yeah, I think we should do it. I think no point. I mean, it's getting almost 1 o'clock.
I'd actually like to put a motion forward that we do allocate $30,000, and it will include the hero shot, the Oyster sponsorship, the pavilion for our presence in the main, the space pavilion, as outlined here, with the addition of some type of event in Morro Bay, be it a culinary tour or whatever, an action tour, whatever, at an additional 25 to the way that it's outlined here.
Is there a second? There's a second on that. Okay, and I would just say to Stacy, all the stuff that we talked about would come back, and we could finalize this at our, we could finalize the contract at our next meeting so that everyone could see what it included. Would that be something that everyone would do? Okay. So we have a motion on the table. We have a second.
Discussion.
Any more discussion?
I have one comment, too. With that hero shot, will we get final approval on that?
Yes, as I mentioned, I will make sure that you're a part of the process.
Okay.
We pick the shot. Creative picks the shot.
We picked the shot last time, but that's not how they used that shot. But I'm talking about the overall.
Gotcha.
What it's done. And
no,
Nick's
I got
gotcha.
You. The overall, what the poster looks like. Gotcha.
Yes. Did we decide my attention level's kind of to drop, but on the 10 by 20 booth size, were we going to be charged to $2,500 extra for that, or didn't we get that last time for the regular price?
I would love to see this at $27,500,
including
the Oyster one, because last year, basically we're getting the same thing we got last year, but we're paying more. Last year it was $25,000, so we're paying the extra $2,500 for Ted Allen.
But we'd have to adjust the motion, though, if we did that, but... Because I recall a conversation that, you know, we're being charged a $2,500 extra, but for the 10 by 20, but we got a 10 by 20 last year by special arrangement. So I don't know if we ever decided on that.
I'm going to refer to my notes that are in my briefcase. All right.
Did you guys decide whether... Did you, on your conversation with Stacy, did you decide, did we got a 10 by 20 last year, and we're being charged $2,500 for a 10 by 20?
We were charged $1,000. I think I have the contract in my...
I'm not to beleaguer the point, but...
Okay, so, and we do have the city
I have your
sitting here.
So. Booth space noted on the contract from last year of a 10 by 10 booth space for $1,000.
Okay. We ended up with a 10
so
by 20.
So why
we ended up by a 10 with a 10
we
by
20?
We
had 10
by
20.
Because we put an oyster bar in there, and it's a 10-foot oyster bar, and we need room for them to
with
set
a pickup
up space.
Truck.
There's setup space. The
and
booth.
You've got the food.
It's just
I would love to see 27. I would love to see what we had last year. I could have sworn we paid $25,000 last year.
You paid $26,000 last year.
Oh, 26.
Six, yeah.
Okay, so here we are with the motion. I'm sorry, but would you be kind enough to read the motion? Or to
Member Biagini motion for sponsorship of $30,000, which would include an event in Morro Bay. Member Myers second and all, and I'm waiting for an all in favor.
It's not. We paid $26,000 last year. Now we're going to $30,000. That's a $4,000 increase.
I'm going to amend the motion with a maximum of $30,000. But with some of the costs...
We're taking this on, and we're meeting with Stacy.
And then we'd need to make sure that we withdraw this motion in the second.
All the motion and the amended motion.
Thank you.
Stacy, I will be calling you.
Thank you very much
for your time.
I appreciate
your patience. Thank you. Okay, back to the agenda. Rob, your name is actually not on the agenda, but your item, discussion of the new 501c6 board member qualifications. For that, I will turn it over to our very patient city attorney, Rob Schultz.
And I apologize, I've got a packet, so I will be leaving you, but you're in capable hands.
I understand. Thank you, Andrea, for your patience today. And thanks again, Stacy.
Don't leave me in charge. Good afternoon. You heard the motions that council made previously, and I was listening to you earlier when Board Member Beeman, and that's why I came over here, because I thought this was coming up, and the questions are now, what do we do next? I've contacted, and you heard the name John Lambeth. John Lambeth will be working with me to form the 501c6. I met with him up in Sacramento for about 2.5 hours, and just a wealth of knowledge. I mean, he's done this all over the state of California, all the way up to the city of San Diego with a $29 million T-bid, all the way down to less than we have. So he's worked with many of them, and so he'll be starting that first process of doing the articles of incorporation. It's going to require ordinance change and bylaws change, and one of the principal items that we need input on is just what is that board makeup. The board makeup for this new advisory board, the T-bid board, will also serve as the board for the 501c6. And the reason why you do that, obviously, is you still have your advisory board, and what would be determined is whether they meet monthly, quarterly, or yearly. But they're the principal advisory board that's underneath the council, and you really need that same board to sit as your 501c6 board of directors, because you couldn't have, if they were different boards, they might come with different suggestions or ideas. So you really need to have both of them being the same. So that's really the only question before you to throw out there, is to start your discussion on what should that makeup be. I mean, I can bring you and how the process will go is, I hope to have by the next month, we're in March, so an April meeting, at the latest the May meeting, and you might have to have some special meetings to get this all done, but to have that ordinance to you for review, so you can see the language that we would use. And I also started just since last week looking at other makeups of board of directors for 501c6s, and I was looking at Coronado this morning, which had some interesting descriptions of their members. But that's your question, is what do you want that makeup to be, that recommendation to city council for that to be? So I'll throw it to you for discussion, but that's the issue for today, is to start that, and there'll be many more possibly when the bylaws come in front of you, but that's the principally first one we need to get resolved. And then on top of that, you'll be doing, and like I said, you might have to have some special meetings. July 1st is our deadline. For certain, I can say without a doubt, we're going to have only one advisory board, and that advisory board will have a set amount of dollar amount. We can guarantee that board's going to have at least near $500,000, approximately $500,000, that T-bid's always had. If there's any excess funding that goes in there from the general fund, that has not been determined yet, and that'll be determined during the budget process. But you certainly know that there'll be $500,000 going into your T-bid budget that comes from your assessment. And so you'll be doing budget recommendations during this period of time, bylaws presentation, and then as soon as that 501c6, and we're shooting for July 1st, is up, then that board of directors will start meeting. They certainly could. I think the question is, do they write their own bylaws? We'll do skeleton bylaws to get that all in place, but then certainly that board of directors could meet and start doing their meetings and change things that they see it fit within their 501c6 bylaws. They couldn't change the makeup, though. They couldn't say, that 501c6 can't say, well, we didn't like the fact that the advisory board is five hoteliers and four other in the tourism, just giving an example, So we're going to make us all hoteliers over here. You couldn't do that. We'll have that mechanism that doesn't allow you to change the makeup of the board, but how it works and how it functions is really going to be the 501c6's obligations.
So that was one of my big questions, because I know that another 501 is all TBID, and we have wonderful members on here that are not hoteliers, and from also what you're telling me is they will move over onto the new board.
Well, that's still undetermined exactly what that board will be made of.
Okay. So it's always curious to me that if TBID is funding the whole amount, because right now I know that there was a motion by one of the council people that the $125,000 that CPC currently gets from the city doesn't come into this new board. So
that decision hasn't been
made.
And
I know. It was a suggestion by one of the council people. So my question is, if all the money's coming from hoteliers, why do we need non-hoteliers as part of that board? That's the question.
That's not my determination. I don't know if there's an answer for that. There's nothing that says you have to have all hoteliers. You could have less.
I have a suggestion on that. I mean, I think it's just a matter of diversity. I mean, it's not the issue of, I'm sure the decisions are made by majority, so it doesn't make a difference if there are other people with different ideas as a non-hotelier. I think it's just the way we spend the money, I think, is more important. The way I see certain things, of course, which is nothing to do with this discussion, is that really not helping the hotel business is helping others, which is not a problem with that, but that's why we pay sales tax, and that's what's supposed to go for helping, you know, other businesses. So if we're not getting the benefit as a hotelier, then I think we'll have to make a decision in this board, you know, what is right or wrong. But having different, I think, from different, not hotel owners per se, I think it helps the board because it gives a different, direction and give a different aspect of how things should be. So it's not that bad, I think.
And there's nothing that you couldn't do that says that you could make two recommendations to the council, and one recommendation is if it's just going to be TBID money that's going to go into the 501c6, then our recommendation is it's all hoteliers. If there is additional money that's going to be spent from the general fund into this 501c6, then the proportion of that could be additional in the tourism industry, retail, whatever, and that's a possibility.
I do have one question for you. You're asking us for our recommendation today.
Well, it's just to open the discussion.
Right, to open the discussion. Will this also, so our recommendation would go back to council, or it would go into a staff report and go back to council via you. And then this issue will also be placed on the CPC agenda, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we're going to go to them also and ask for their same recommendation as what they would recommend, and whether there's any viable option for the CPC to be reinvented into some other type of board. Whatever recommendations they want, we're open to bring back to council.
Because what I would like to see is that we have a less divisive conversation about this than we've had in the past about the director of tourism. So having said that, there was this kind of uncomfortable conversation about, the hoteliers feel like you have to pay to play, meaning the city would have to buy spots on a board. And it clearly that has not ever been the case with our TBID board. And I, hope that we continue to go down that path. So I would like to make a suggestion as we move down that we look to seat a 9-member board. Let me stop myself. We look to seat a 7-member board if the money comes only from the TBID and we move this board over. That would be what I would like to see. If we seat a 9-member board because funding is coming from the general fund, If a level of funding at, let's say, $1 for every
four that the TBID puts in comes in, then we'll add two more non-hotel members to the board, giving a 4-5 split. That's what I would like to see. I think that's equitable. We can carry them over from the CPC, or they can be reseated, or the whole thing, we can dismantle this whole thing and go out to, what do you call it when you put it out there? In the public
RFP?
Notice.
Oh, a notice. We just notice for the...
Notice for seating of a completely new board, or we can make it easy and carry this board over and add two more, which is what I think would be easier on staff, but except staff. But again, I go back to, if all the money comes from... split, you're saying 6-3.
Right. Completely agree. I really think it's important to keep current members. I'd love to see those one or two seats. I don't care either way. Pulled out of CPC. And the reason I feel like it is I feel like we've been running with marketing and we're doing all of these things. And so to bring in a whole new board with all new members, I think is going to put us at a stop. You know, Alex is new. He's still trying to come up on speed with what we're doing. Granted, it's only been a month, but there's a lot of things he's going, what? We've already know these things. So I think it's really important for us to keep some of the current members' continuity. And it would be great. I would welcome CPC. They could figure out who they would want to transfer over, but they've already been in the loop. They've been working with BCA. They've been working with the city. They know what's going on, and we would welcome them to all start to get this divisiveness gone and work together, because that's what we all want and are encouraged to try. I would encourage us to try to do that.
Is there anybody here who feels strongly about the designation of those three? Now it's three open spots, 3 to 4 open spots, whatever they are, being designated RR&R, which is restaurant, retail, recreation, coming from the tourist segment, meaning they don't have to be a citizen of Morro Bay. They can be a business owner. For example, and I'm sure I'll get a phone call about this, but Stan Trapp does not live in the city, but he runs one of the most successful restaurants in the city, which is Windows on the Water, and he would be a great addition to a marketing board, for example.
I agree with that. I am someone who has been working in Morro Bay for over 20 years and am very, but I don't live and reside and vote out of Morro Bay. I live in Los Osos. So I really do think it should be more about what they represent than where they live, because you live and breathe something every day, you know what's going on. Just because you don't live in here, I think that is not fair. So I would love to see it be more of who's business related versus where you reside.
And that kind of brings up an issue that I was thinking, Rob. If we set up our new tourism board as opposed to our TBID advisory board, and it's made up of this group, and then we have a new 501c6, does it, and this board flows back into that board, can that board be maybe a 9-member board and not have the restrictions on qualifications in terms of residency?
Yes, either one can. We have on our harbor advisory board non-citizens. It just has to clarify that. So, I mean, that's possible. Everything you said is a possibility. With the hour being, what I would suggest is, you know, let us work now on the ordinance. I see where you're heading. You do want to split. You do want that differential. The recommendation is definitely that if it's just going to be TBID money, then the board remains the same. But if there's additional funds going into it, that it increased, there'll be a percentage, and I can bring you back examples of that and start working on the ordinance language and the bylaws language and bring that back to you. I'm going to talk with John Lambeth, and I'm going to try to get him to come to town for us so that he can help us and maybe come to one of your board meetings and help you with the process a little bit. So that'll help. And so there might be a special meeting. I want to put you on notice for that, just for this item in the next few months, because we do have a tight schedule to get it all up. But I wouldn't worry so much. There's this big thing about the fact that, this huge unknown, and it isn't as much an unknown as people think is, you know, the worst case scenario is, you know, and who's going to be your staffing and what's going to go on. The worst case scenario is that you have a new 501c6 that is really just the same board members, and you still don't have any staffing yet because you're still trying to figure that out and who to hire and where the visitor center fits in. But you'd still have city staff doing exactly what we're doing at a board meeting. You'd still have BCA here. The main reason that's going to make this easier that I have noticed just as a layperson on the outside is that BCA has had and Sorgen Fry has had a difficult time on figuring out who they take direction from, whether it's TBID, whether it's the city, or whether it's CPC. And that won't happen anymore. They will take direction from only one, and that'll be that seven-member board. And that's where I see that's the major plus. So, you know, I think everything will fall in place. That new board will get together. They'll figure out their funding. They'll figure out where it's all going to go, what their staffing level would be. But there's still going to be some help from the city staffing. We will hope that over time you would have your own staffing, you'd have your own office, you'd have all that. But all the office space, the visitor center, that'll all come together. So, you know, it isn't the end of the world, and you guys will start knowing your budget item as soon as council figures it out.
And now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. The other thing that worries me is that we haven't mentioned the director of tourism.
Granted, that's no different than right now, except for, like I said, that one hats with CPC, but you still don't have that main person that's helping this board out, and that's where you've got to find other funding for it through either city, through other assessments, through other, you know, issues that we can discuss on how you raise revenues.
Rob, one of the things that I see is that when we talk about this, the makeup of the board, we're talking about a lot about our budget this meeting, and it's going to be very difficult, I think, for us to develop a budget that's going to work until we know if there is going to be funding coming from the general fund towards marketing efforts in this city. And I know that they have preliminary budgets. Their budget is pretty well finalized, meaning their, the city council budget. They go through all that in May and then June also. So when you talk about a series of special meetings, I see a lot of special meetings in May and June, or the end of June at least, before our July budget process. A lot of quick draw meetings. In addition to that, I'm wondering, I feel pretty strongly about having something as a motion that states, you know, I'm a little concerned about the general fund funding not coming forward, because what that does is it reduces our ability to actually market.
Oh,
and that's the important thing here is, you know, to get the marketing going and streamlined. I'm wondering if we can at least make a motion that recommends to the city council under this that they not cut any current funding levels from the budget coming.
And certainly, yes, you should do that. And just as CPC, you know, over the years has done that in the April time frame where they get together and they do that whole recommendation. It's not on your agenda now, and I think you've got a time to set that up for next time and actually show where you would spend your money. You know, what are you requesting from, what is the TBID requesting with this new 501c6 exactly, you know, the monies that they want above and beyond, obviously, the assessment. And so I think that's for your next meeting, because it's not on there and there's nothing council's doing right now with any of the money. They'll wait till the budget comes all in front of them. You heard about possibly funding economic development. You'll probably get something from CPC. So there will be a lot of people trying to vie for the money. And, you know, and part of that pie is the visitor center pie, which is a completely different issue. But there's nothing that says you can't ask for that and what you should to make your budget that you're requesting for it. And so I would say the next one we can put that as a agenda item, or that might be part of the special one that we address two issues in the next month, separate and apart from that, and so that BCA doesn't even have to be here really for that. It's just for us to discuss exactly the ordinance. Here's the changes that we need to make. This is how we're moving forward, and then have that budget requested item.
Okay.
And we've done that for the CPC, I think, the last 3 years, because, you know, their money was general fund money, so they were always concerned at budget time
right. That
it was going to be cut. And that's kind of what you're in now. You're taking that role because CPC doesn't care anymore.
because
well, I'm sure they do care.
Well, they do, but they're well, they yeah. they're being merged into this one board, and so they're not gonna be out there lobbying for money that you have to lobby
right.
for.
So on our agenda today is strictly what we would recommend the makeup of the board to be, and I feel pretty strongly that we probably need to put a motion forward. And the reason
you can, or I already have, I know what your direction is on that, so I'll be bringing it back. It's not a finalized until you actually see the words in front of
gotcha.
You. But
okay.
if you want to do that's a motion, that's fine. But I'll it'll be right back to you, and as soon
all
as
right.
I can get John out here, you know, and if he's going to be out here, I want you all to meet him. He's
gotcha.
Just an incredible gentleman that knows this area of the law very well.
Okay. So thank you so much, and we will take everything under consideration. We'll wait to hear when John Lambeth is coming. You've got our ideas about the board, and our hope is that as we merge board members together and move forward with this, that this forward momentum draws everybody in, everybody comes together and is unified under this umbrella of tourism. And that's the hope, that it becomes less controversial, I guess. So thank you, Rob, for coming. And thanks for your patience today. Okay. So finally on the agenda, we have one item left. And that is, and I want to see a smile from everyone when I say that. One item left. Let's look. And that item is a discussion of a possible FAM tour for the Oyster Festival promotion. And actually, she had to leave because, well, I mean, look at the time. And so this 8, maybe 10 travel writers in Morro Bay over Oyster Festival weekend. And they attached a tentative agenda for us. They would arrive Friday, June 16th. The media arrives in the late afternoon. Their welcome reception at Morro Bay, it's to be determined, the location. At 5 p.m., they shuttle to Cayucas for a reception and the VIP dinner at the Ocean Rose Abalone Farm up on the hill in Cayucas. And then Saturday, June 16th, they would wake up and have various Morro Bay experiences customized to the media interests. What we'd like to do is, instead of doing like one big boat cruise where we have 10 members of the media all looking at each other going, okay, well, if you're going to report on this, I'm not going to, rather break them up into packs of two and send them out onto individual excursions. Like two of them could go stand-up paddleboarding, a couple could go kayaking, some of them could do a tour of the oyster, or surf lessons, horseback riding on the beach, different things like that. And then they would meet at about 12 or 1 o'clock and head to the Oyster Festival. They could meet even later than that. Again, this is a tentative agenda. And then dinner hosted by various Morro Bay restaurants, but what we did consider was lunch hosted by Morro Bay restaurants and a late arrival to the Oyster Festival in the afternoon so they could see the headliner band at night and see the Oyster Festival and the sunset from Morro Bay Golf Course. So we did discuss that. The next morning, Los Osos would be paying for them to do come out and see Montaña de Oro, hike and picnic, lunch, and a breakfast in Los Osos. In addition to that, however, there is a ticket package that they were looking at doing. And with this ticket package, the TBID would purchase 200 tickets to the Oyster Festival at $20 each and then run basically advertising on our website that would say the first 200 people to book rooms in Morro Bay for this event receive an Oyster Festival ticket for free. So it's like a packaging type thing. So that's $4,000 of this cost. $2,000 of it is the FAM trip, and $4,000 is the ticket package. So if we want to do the FAM trip, $2,000 is the FAM trip, $4,000 is roughly the ticket package. We could do the ticket package at $100, or $100, at 100 ticket level, or we could...
I actually talked to...
Yes, go ahead.
I talked to Linda Parker Sanpay about that, and she, because that was sort of my negotiating tool, and she indicated that they're really not they don't want to back off that $6,000 price, because that's exactly what I offered to her, was that we really only need 100 tickets, and so, you know, can we get this down to $4,000? And she said basically the tickets are complimentary and we're just giving you a value on them. So we went a couple rounds, and she wasn't willing to budge. So, you know, I'll certainly go back, but I don't think just slashing the 100 tickets is going to take $2,000 off your fee here.
No, but certainly I think a suggestion by our board, and we do have some money in contingency, is that correct? Yeah, and we have some money also in, I think, in PR set aside for things that we haven't totally reached our budget on. I think, I really am serious about this. I think if we went back and said that we were funding at the $4,000 level, they're not going to walk away from the table on this, because they're not going to. Right.
You remember the original agenda was very focused on Los Osos and Cayucas, so we changed the agenda to get it more focused on Morro Bay. And, you know, then when we got down to dollars and cents, and as I said, it was the first round, and, you know, we can certainly go back, and this is what we've got, and, you know.
And all media rooms will be staying in Morro Bay for Friday and Saturday night. So
right.
That's another. Morro Bay is the host city for this. We're the host city.
I have a question.
We're donating rooms, too.
I have a question.
Correct.
What is the, it's $6,000, which if we get 10 fam. Six to eight people, that's like $1,000 a person. What is it paying for? I'm a little confused. Tired, hungry, and confused.
It's paying for Parker Sanpei to do this.
Okay. Okay. So basically, so beyond them doing this, the money's going to them. Besides that, then we're also going to be donating rooms, and everything else is going to be comped, right? And the people are gonna go to Cayucas, and they're for a reception and dinner.
They're putting in $2,000, and Los Osos is putting in $2,000. It's a $10,000 package.
$10,000 mm-hmm. package. Okay.
And so let me ask you this.
And the dinners are going to be hosted by.
We're on Morro Bay, so we're not. Or would you think that it would be realistic if you're bringing in travel writers to show them the area as a whole? Would you need to focus? Because you might have, as our representative of Morro Bay, more trouble going out and getting funding from Los Osos or Cayucas or something like that.
I think you could do it Morro Bay specific and still take them to other places. You know, to me, I'm, you know, Cayucas isn't, I don't know. I just feel like you could take them to Hearst Castle. You could do what we did, you know, some of the things that we did for the Ultimate Getaway. There's a way to make Morro Bay, you know, the focal point, but that there's so much to do without having to involve. I wouldn't involve the CBID. I don't think it's that important.
I have a question. If we didn't do any of this at all, they're still going to go to the Oyster Festival, right?
Those writers probably won't come.
They won't come to the Oyster Festival?
Well, they won't come, and not if you don't give them rooms and give them, you know, I don't know that they would.
I mean, here we're sitting there saying that we're going to expect that our rooms are booked anyway for the weekend. I mean, I just looked at our thing for last year. I was booked solid that weekend. We may not even have any rooms anyway, okay? So the point is to bring. I would rather see us bring writers here at a different time. We're trying to promote ourselves as that low-key little village where you can get away from, rather than being where there's a huge event with thousands of people.
This is the last item on the agenda. Here's what I think. I think we go back to them, Sherry, and we say we want to do $2,000 for the fam tour because we're splitting it equally amongst the three spots. If you don't want to do that, then we don't do it, and we walk away, and we look at doing something together with BCA. Okay?
I think that's fine. This was not BCA-induced.
Right. It was not.
Completely from the Oyster Festival. The Oyster Festival got in touch with another public relations, which wasn't the greatest thing to do anyway.
I agree.
We're fine.
So
we'll go back there, and
I would look for an option to do $2,000 for the fam tour. Not the tickets, and if they don't, if there's no interest in doing it at the $2,000 level, if the CBID wants to walk away from it, then the CBID walks away from it, and we pursue a FAM tour with.
I'll make that motion as stated.
Well, I have a question on that. What's the point of bringing them here and then charging them for the ticket? Is that what you're saying? Or
we're not going to charge them for the ticket.
Yeah, it makes
right.
sense.
Yeah. We're not charging them for the tickets.
Yeah.
So there's a second on the motion. Any further discussion?
No, who seconded it?
No, I'm sorry. Is there a second on the motion? I'm sorry. I thought I heard a second.
I'll second that.
Okay, now I hear a second. That's how tired I am. I'm sorry, guys.
I have a discussion item. So I was looking at this How It Works page, and they list everything out, and at the very bottom, it's winecoastcountry.com. Stay search. Mm-hmm. So where is morrobay.org in any of this?
Nowhere.
Here's how it works. And so if you look, basically, which I understand we're going for $2,000, so the tickets aren't involved, but the tickets would be the first 200 that were purchased in Los Osos, Cayucas, or Morro Bay.
But we're pulling the tickets out of it.
Right, so if we pull the tickets out.
This is how they would have
done it for the 6,000. Okay, I just want clarification on that. And I would, okay, so we're pulling the tickets out.
We're pulling the tickets out. We're pulling the tickets out.
Okay.
And doing the 2,000.
So on the table right now is $2,000 for a FAM tour. If they walk away, we'll have Sherry go back to Linda Sanpay, or Parker Sanpay, and if that doesn't work out, then we'll pursue bringing in our own FAM tour.
Okay, and my question then would be, too, is it going to change the makeup of this at the $2,000 level? So this would be, if we could, just in the motion saying, if this is the itinerary, I'm okay with the $2,000. But if they come back and change the itinerary, I want to look at that before agreeing to the 2,000 because...
Amended motion?
Yeah, I'll make that amendment that we keep the...
Current itinerary as it is. Okay. Current itinerary at the $2,000 funding level?
Yes. Okay. At the $2,000 funding level, the current itinerary stays the same as printed in the handout.
Okay. Is there a friendly...
I'll second.
Did you want to second the amendment? Or was it
Member Biagini? Okay, so now we have a motion on the table, a second on the table, a friendly amendment to the motion on the table, seconded. So the full motion is that we fund at a $2,000 level with the current agenda for the FAM tour. If that is not approved in partnership with the CBID, we ask Sherry to pursue a FAM tour. That's our motion. We've got that on the table. We've got a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None?